Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is January 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Delaware Valley has been hit with cold temperatures, below zero wind chills, and icy roads. Standing water turned into patches of ice, causing dangerous conditions for morning commuters. Drivers are urged to take caution as black ice is hard to detect. Now, AAA says they receive the most calls concerning dead batteries during frigid times like these. Not only can roads be treacherous, but also sidewalks. The patches of ice are going to be the main issue today. A cold blue went into effect over the weekend in Philadelphia on Sunday night. Members of Project Home canvassed the streets, encouraging the homeless to seek shelter. Now, it is going to be sunny today, but with strong gusty winds, bitter wind chills as well. The high, like Preston said, only 17 degrees with gusts up to 40 miles per hour through the morning. The wind chills will be below zero, making this a dangerously cold day. There's actually a wind chill advisory in effect until 1 o'clock for the entire area.
It seems, Kathy, that the original forecast was that the rain would sort of buttress up more to the freezing weather, and there'd be a lot more.
Well, the flash freeze never happened.
Right. Yeah.
So we didn't, I guess we didn't get, you know, how it was supposed
right.
to.
Right. But
it
also,
was mainly rain on Saturday.
Yeah. Also, you're saying like there was supposed to still be
pools,
precipitation
right.
on the ground
yes,
that was
yeah.
going to freeze over.
And it's pretty much gone.
Yeah.
They're saying just patches is what you have to look out for. So frostbite and hypothermia can all occur if precautions are not taken in weather
Yay.
Like this. Make sure you bundle up multiple layers and cover up as much of your skin as possible if you're going to be outside. They're saying even for a short period of time.
Do you know what I realized? I don't know how to work a scarf. I can't
really?
Get it to stay around my face. Can someone show me later how to do a scarf right?
We'll do a scarf because tutorial.
I wear like, you know, the thing. Most of my coats go up and will go up above my mouth. But the one that I have that's electric, it's heat, it's really good, but it goes low. And I'm like, I was like Baron von Richthofen this morning trying to get the...
Let's work on that later for sure.
We can definitely do that for sure. Now, speaking of the cold, also this. Listen, passengers on a United Airlines flight that left Saturday from Newark bound for Hong Kong was left stuck in the aircraft on the ground for more than 14 hours in freezing temperatures after the plane was diverted to Canada because of a medical emergency.
That's insane. 14
hours. I mean,
somebody could have got them off, right?
It starts to get boring around 12 hours.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, and so what? So I guess they couldn't start up the plane to get them heat? Like, what the hell?
I don't know.
So after the passenger was taken off of the plane for the medical attention and the flight was set to leave, it experienced a mechanical problem. So passengers weren't allowed to leave the plane because the airport in Goose Bay didn't have a customs officer on duty overnight and they had to remain on board.
You have got to be kidding.
Seriously, right?
You're going to have people... That's when the bureaucracy just F's up everything.
At about hour six, everybody would start plotting. You draw straws to see... to say who's got a bomb.
No.
So then they have to clear the plane.
Just go over and pull out the emergency, open up the thing and pull out the emergency slide.
And just go.
Yeah.
So they had to remain on board as temperatures outside fell to 20 below zero and the food supply ran low. Goose Bay officials brought donuts and coffees to the passengers in the morning and they were finally able to get off of the plane after more than 14 hours. But listen, they never even went to Hong Kong. They sent another plane that did have meals on board for all of the passengers, but to take them back to Newark.
What? We've got donuts for you.
Right.
Oh, what?
And you're not going to Hong Kong anymore. You're going back to Newark, I guess, because they were in another country. They had to take them back to the United States and then find them another flight.
There are all sorts of rules and stuff about also when you're out on the tarmac, what you can and cannot do.
Well, listen, I thought the rule was that they can't make you sit on the airplane anymore for that long.
I thought so, too. Remember, they were like...
there was a limit.
Traveler's rights or whatever it was.
Yeah. They can abrogate those rules, though, if they provide donuts every 12 hours.
Okay. Kathy, I'm sorry. Did you indicate what the actual medical emergency was?
No, they said it was a medical emergency, but once they landed, then they had a mechanical mechanical difficulty on the plane. So
someone
that's
was homesick.
Yeah, seriously.
I wonder, I mean, if all of those passengers then get... free airfare, because that's a long
They've
flight.
Got it right. They've got
Yeah, and you've made, clearly you've made extensive plans to be ready for a trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've got to get restitution somehow or
something.
Another.
Oh
yeah.
My God, ridiculous.
Thousands are expected to attend the largest Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service event in the country in Philadelphia today. More than 150,000 people will come out and serve in nearly 2,000 projects for the 24th annual Day of Service. Every year, a theme is chosen to shed light on important issues impacting the community. This year, the theme is finding solutions for gun violence and envisioning peace. The largest event of the day takes place at Girard College, and it begins at 9 a.m.
If you're out in the cold this today, you're truly honoring Dr. King.
You are.
If you're boning up today,
yep. Bundle up.
Yep.
In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
In the NFL's championship games, both games went into overtime, and in both games, the visitors won. In the NFC game in New Orleans, the Rams rallied from an early 13-0 deficit and stunned the Saints with Greg Zuerlein's 57-yard field goal in overtime for the 26-23 win. The outcome probably wouldn't have been possible without a bad mistake by the officials in the closing minutes of regulation. Quarterback Nickel Roby Coleman committed a blatant interference penalty with a helmet-to-helmet hit on Tommy Lee Lewis well before the pass arrived inside the five, forcing the Saints to settle for Will Lutz's 31-yard field goal and made it 23-20 with a minute 41 left in regulation. After the no-call, Jared Goff had enough time to lead the Rams down the field for Zuerlein's tying field goal, a 48-yarder with 15 seconds remaining, sending the game into overtime. In the AFC, Tom Brady drove past Kansas City's exhausted defense on a 75-yard drive to Rex Burkhead's 2-yard touchdown run in a 37-31 win. The drive, during which New England had 3 third-down conversions, was reminiscent of when the Patriots beat Atlanta in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Rams last made the Super Bowl in 2002 while still in St. Louis, losing to the Patriots.
And that game went into overtime as a result of a bad call as well.
So two bad calls.
They called a roughing the passer call against the Chiefs on a play where they intercepted the ball. Oh, wait, no, that was a different play. But regardless, I think we got to talk about this because I think I want to boycott the Super Bowl. And
because of this?
All right. I've had a problem with the referees all season long.
And we'll talk about it later.
Wow. Yeah. All right. The Sixers are at home tonight with the game against the Houston Rockets. Tip-off for the nationally televised game is at 8 o'clock. The Flyers, who have won 3 straight games, are off for the All-Star break and won't be back in action until next Monday. And for 2 more weeks, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Well, that Saints game has given birth to quite possibly the greatest video I've ever seen. Nick just pulled it up. You know how we had talked a couple of weeks ago, filming a pivotal moment, somebody breaking out their phones and recording while somebody's watching a game when something important is about to happen. Well, Nick found this. It's a guy watching.
The field goal.
Oh.
And it's good. He's standing there with his arms crossed watching the TV. And when it's good, he just walks over and absolutely destroys the television with one punch right to the center of the screen.
The TV is destroyed.
I had a hard time. Nick was playing it while you were doing the sports. I had a hard time from laughing my ass off during that. That's one of the best videos ever seen, Nick.
That is just brilliant.
That is just absolute rage and just being completely fed up. So clearly he's a Saints fan.
Yeah, right? Either that or he had some money on the game.
You never know.
All right, so either his team is not in the Super Bowl, he lost money, and now he has no TV.
Or perhaps he's a big radio fan.
You never know, and he just wanted to. Yeah. He's tired of that television crap.
Visual stuff.
Oh my God, dude, that made my day watching that video. All right. Well, anyhow, welcome back, dear friends. It is indeed a Monday morning, although it should be a lighter commute today, Kathy, because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday.
Which is good, because there are some of the patches of ice still left, so keep people off the road just in case.
Yeah, I hope, and for the most part, that your heat's working and everything's good, because my side views are actually a little bit frozen on the car today, so it's
so
weird.
We will not be doing the who's he, what's it?
Come on, go fund yourself.
Go fund yourself. I keep,
we keep because we have the jingle that says fund you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the actual name of the contest is Go Fund Yourself, that I keep going back and forth between the two. And I think everybody else here as well. But anyhow, not doing it today. We will get that back up and running tomorrow morning for you, friends. We do have some guests that are going to be on the program today. Jerry Blavitt, the Geeter, is going to be stopping in today. He's got his Friends 40th anniversary, Jerry Blavitt and Friends 40th anniversary show coming up Saturday. So he will mention that at Verizon Hall, KimmelCenter.org for tickets. And our buddy Justin Guarini is getting in touch. Fortunately, he can't make it into the studio, so he's going to give us a quick phone call because it's a charity event he wanted to mention. So
no, we'll want to help, even though he's shearing off 20 minutes of time he would get if he came in.
We're helping our coach out. So that and a few other things coming up. I have a stupid question all ready to go, so we'll go ahead and take a quick break. Come back in just a moment. That and the entertainment report on the way. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to HannahStone.com today.
Steven Secret Jewelers is not revealing one new gold-dipped rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got five! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so I'm going to do a stupid question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to, for Major League Wrestling. And this will be... Hang on a second... I don't know. I'll get you the details in a moment.
It will happen at some point in the future.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Expect the unexpected as Major League Wrestling presents the live BN Sports Televised Network special February 2nd at the 2300 Arena off 95 in South Philadelphia. So there you go. That's what you will win. And the question I have for you this morning, Steve, you mentioned that you saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, I loved it.
I watched it as well. So I have a question about Live Aid. In 1985, what artist flew on the Concorde in order to play sets at both the London and Philadelphia Live Aid concerts? You ought to know this. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know that. Who flew on the Concorde in 1985 to play sets at both the London and Philadelphia Live Aid concerts? 215-263-WMMR. That's our number. Some birthdays to go through. Today being Monday, January 21st, is Gina Davis's birthday today.
Yes. You don't see her much these days.
No. I guess maybe Commander-in-Chief was the last thing.
She was on a show none of us watched, Grey's Anatomy, for a stretch.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Yeah, she was like five or six seasons of...
She did 5 years of work we're completely unaware of.
Yep. None, I don't think any of us watched that show, right?
I like Gina Davis a lot. I think she's a solid actress. But you know what? She also happens to be a phenomenal archer. She's a near-Olympic-level archer.
I don't know if she still does that or not. She did. In fact, she tried out for an Olympic team.
Yeah.
1 year. She didn't quite make it. But, yeah, that was her thing for sure.
And she and Jeff Goldblum were an item for years.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I love the argument, and it'll never, ever, ever be solved. But did she drop the ball on purpose at the end of A League of Their Own?
Yeah, we've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I think she did.
I think she didn't. But
she wouldn't compromise.
Anyhow, the debate will rage on. By the way, going back to Jeff Goldblum, was it Earth Girls or Easy that they met on, I think, Steve?
I believe so, yeah. And then the Fly, which came first.
That's right.
Yeah. Earth Girls, I think.
Yeah.
So Gina is 63 today. Emma Bunton.
Yes.
He was my favorite.
Really?
She's a cutie.
Yeah. She's cute.
No question. And she is 43 years old, and apparently the ladies are getting together again.
Except for Posh.
There's some shows except for Posh. You're correct, Steve. But I don't know the details on that, but they're a guilty pleasure of mine.
So mine as well, and the tour is, I guess whatever's been announced is already selling out. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. So she's 43. Babies.
Wow.
She's 43 years old today. Placido Domingo is turning 78 years old today. He's one of the three tenors.
I'm watching Jeopardy on Netflix. When I run out of things to watch on Netflix, I watch Jeopardy, and he did a video clue, and it was like famous threesomes or famous threes or whatever, and so we refer to.
Thank you, Alex. Sometime when you see corn in your poop, that is a sign of this medical malady.
That's what he did. Had nothing to do with opera
at all.
Well, he's a learned man, I would imagine. So. Is this him?
No.
Oh. This is just opera?
It's bad opera.
Placido Domingo, 78 years old today. Ah, the great one, the golden bear, Jack Nicklaus, celebrates his birthday today. He is 79 years old.
Greatest?
The greatest.
Greatest ever, yes?
Without question.
The GOAT.
Thank you. As far as, no, not Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicklaus, not Nicholas.
What's that?
That's Jack Nicklaus. So,
no.
Okay, whatever.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, Steve, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but the amount of tournaments that he's won and majors that he won, and not only that, the amount of times that he came in second place.
Yes.
And sometimes by just a stroke or maybe two, is astronomical. It's amazing. He absolutely just dominated that sport.
Who's the earningest?
Ooh, I want to say that's a good question.
It's probably somebody on the newer.
Yeah, you'd have to take if you took inflation into consideration. I'm not really sure. Sam Snead was one of the winningest of all time as well.
But earningest,
he won smaller tournaments.
Earningest is a Tiger.
Tiger. Oh, Tiger. Yeah. Okay. So okay. There we go.
I wonder what like Nicklaus pulls in because he's a course designer, is he not?
Yeah, okay. That as well. But he's amazing and always has been. He's 79 today. And the last birthday I have, Steve, is an actor, Robbie Benson.
Yes.
And Robbie Benson is 63 years old today.
I've been a Robbie Benson fan for years.
Yeah.
He was in, was it One-on-One, right?
Yep.
The movie
Basketball.
With Annette O'Toole.
Yeah.
It was a big movie years ago. He's also the voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Now, that is what I always forget that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it sounds nothing like him.
And he was in Ice Castles.
He's also in National Lampoon Goes to the Movies. Did you ever see that?
Uh-uh. No.
He plays, so it's around the time of when the airplane stuff is really hitting big. And so they did, National Lampoon did their own. It's a pretty crappy movie, but they did these little vignettes. And in his one, it was the classic rookie cop and the seasoned old veteran story. And so they lampooned that. So he's, if you two could just talk it out. Huh. And, throughout the most of the story until he just gets ground down.
Yeah.
And finally he's just, smoking pot on the job and the whole deal. But it's very funny.
It looks like Steve, Nick was scrolling through his IMDb. I guess they're doing a TV. Oh, no, I guess that was back in 2011. They did A Brave New World and he was in that.
It's
a classic piece of literature. But I don't really see anything. Yeah, that was his last credit, 2011, although there's something called Appleseed that's in post-production. So, but he hasn't worked in quite a while.
He directs and writes, and he also teaches film, I think, down in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his filmography as an actor.
Do you know who he married? He married the one of the ex-singers from Meatloaf's band.
What?
In Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. The girl who's singing along with him, I believe, is who he married.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Well, good for him. He is 63 today.
Yep. Carla DeVito, that's your name.
Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And did I throw it away? No, here. I threw it away.
What?
Who wrote? No, here it is. Who in 1985, what artist flew on the Concorde in order to play sets at both London and Philadelphia for the Live Aid concerts? 215-263-WMMR. And we will go to Christine for the answer. Good morning, Christine.
Oh,
hi.
Good morning.
Is this Christine? Hi, Christine.
It sure is. Good morning.
Good morning. What is the answer we're looking for, please?
It is Phil Collins.
You are correct. Hang on a second, Christine.
Christine's got a good voice.
We'll get your information and we will give you we'll give you a pair of tickets for Major League Wrestling. Expect the unexpected as Major League Wrestling presents a live BN Sports Televised Network special February 2nd at the 2300 Arena off 95 in South Philadelphia. You can visit mlwgo.com for tickets and information. So congratulations.
Watching Bohemian Rhapsody and their CGI recreation of the Wembley audience, it was pretty amazing.
It's impressive,
looked great.
Right?
Yeah, it looked very good.
Yeah, the movie is very, very well done. So if you haven't seen that yet when it comes out, make sure you get a chance and watch that at home. I'll go through, speaking of movies, at the box office. Number one was Glass. M. Night Shyamalan, $40.6 million was the take.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Casey and I saw it over the weekend.
Yes.
We saw it.
We didn't really like it.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm sorry to report, but I'll just be honest with you. As I was hoping for more, but take with it what you will. And if you liked it, I hope you enjoyed it. But it really didn't do it for us, unfortunately. So
you guys went to the movies together?
We did.
That's cute.
Yeah. Isn't that cute?
He saved me a seat. Well,
they both happen to know a guy who's an expert on snowblowers. Yeah. And sort of got them together.
I brought him some peanut M&Ms.
Oh, you did? You guys are so cute.
It was fun. Glass was number one. The Upside was number two, followed by Aquaman still hanging in the top three. Dragon Ball Super Broly.
What?
Dragon Ball Super Broly?
Is that like Dragon Ball Z? Is that a anime thing?
I'm assuming that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the Japanese title or whatever. Some Asian language title is Dragon Buru Jo Bururi.
Jo Bururi.
Yeah.
So that was fourth, followed by Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Dog's Way Home was six. Escape Room, seven. And then you had Mary Poppins, Bumblebee, and On the Basis of Sex rounded out the top 10.
And tomorrow the Academy Awards are announced? Nominations?
I hope so.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Awesome.
So we'll find out if that Dragon Ball Z movie gets a nod. All right.
A witness in Prince Philip's recent car crash has come forward with distressing details. A 97-year-old Duke of Edinburgh appeared dazed and then reportedly told witnesses that he was, quote, such a fool after getting into a car crash near his Sandringham estate. He had to be pulled from his upturned Land Rover after crashing into a Kia Thursday afternoon. So these are just some more of the details coming.
Oh, dear, the world has turned upside down.
The three people in the car, a 28-year-old mother and her 9-month-old son, along with another 45-year-old woman, were fine, though the two women did have to go to the hospital to be treated for minor injuries. The baby was okay.
It's your fault, your commoners.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, they had all these younger people in the car and they let the 97-year-old drive?
Yeah.
Wait,
that
was the other car.
Who's got the most glaucoma?
He was by himself.
Kate. Most glaucoma drives.
A witness told the son the prince steadied himself for about 10 minutes after the crash and then started worrying about the others. He walked slowly down the path towards the crashed car without his protection officers and said, is everyone all right? And the woman said, I wasn't going to lie to him, so I said, not really. I told him the baby was fine, but we thought the passenger had broken her arm. He looked so worried and told me, I'm such a fool. Philip later reportedly told witnesses that the sun was apparently low. He said, I couldn't see. So he was kind of dazzled by the sunlight. The crash up has raised questions about whether he should have been driving at all at his advanced age, with many on social media urging to the royal, who recently retired from public life, to turn over his license.
I was at a car dealership one time, Preston, and the family used the opportunity of the grandfather trading in the car to take the license. Take his keys away.
Oh, really?
And I guess it was just sad to watch it.
I'm certain.
Because he got the realization that, you know, when you're younger, you live for your mobility, your freedom, and then to have that extracted was really kind of devastating.
It's got to be, you know, it's one of those basic things you're having taken away from you.
But when most people, Preston, have that situation occur, they don't have a staff of hundreds ready to drive them anywhere.
Exactly.
Seriously.
So, by the way, apparently he's not going to turn in his license, according to the latest report, which had him driving a car less than 48 hours later after the crash without a seatbelt on.
Well, they said this. Here's the deal. They've struck a deal with him, and it seems that he's going to go for it. They're going to take away the car, but he can still use his dirt bike.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there's the trade-off. Police reportedly had a talking to with the Duke after photos of him driving without a seatbelt surfaced, issuing suitable words of advice to the royal. And by the way, 92-year-old Queen Elizabeth, meanwhile, isn't improving the public's perception of the couple's right to the road. The Queen was spotted behind the wheel of her Range Rover on a public road without her seatbelt on as well.
Hey, guess what I get to do?
She's a podcast.
Guess what I get to do? Figure heads.
I'm sorry. Can we have the Queen one more time?
Guess what I get to do?
Whee!
By the way, due to a quirk in... due to a quirk in English law, she is the only person in all of Great Britain permitted to sit behind the wheel without a driver's license.
The car just can't be in motion.
She doesn't have to have one at all. And by the way, they got him a new Range Rover the next day after the accident.
Yeah, this one has spikes on the front of it.
So he's good to go. Hey, Pete Davidson addressed his suicide scare on Saturday Night Live. He appeared on Weekend Update with Colin Jost introducing him by saying that he was there to, quote, talk about a very important experience that he had over the holidays. Davidson joked, as you know, I've had a really crazy month, but I want to talk about something that matters to me a lot. And then he said, the new Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule. So he set it up as if he was going to go into some serious subject.
I saw it. It was cute. And then John Mulaney came out, who, by the way, is... phenomenal. If you've never seen his stand-up, he is a machine. He is he is excellent. But the did you see a case?
I did. I watched it live.
I'm still worried for Pete Davidson. I think there are things, you know, even throughout the show, he was breaking up a lot in skits. And, you know, this is probably just, who am I to guess? But do you feel that... Does it seem he's doing well?
No, I don't necessarily know why he's even a member of the cast, to tell you the truth.
You know why? Lorne Michaels, and this is a good, I guess, a good thing. Lorne Michaels feels very paternal to him.
Yeah, maybe.
And is trying to... I don't think any good would be served by cutting him loose.
Yeah, maybe he's a good writer. I don't know. I don't...
Well, working...
But Lorne Michaels is also a very... He's very protective of SNL and... He does not mess around when it comes to, you know what I mean?
But at this point in his time, and I was reading an article about this, Preston, he's seen a number of the people who've gone through the cast go on to horrible things, you know, who've fallen prey to their demons.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are close to the situation say that they do feel he's taken more of a guardian approach to Pete Davidson.
I think he has a lot of people, looking out for him, which is good. I also think that working and staying busy is better than sitting around the apartment and doing nothing.
Yes,
you know, to have him come to work every week and be a part, an active part of SNL is probably good for him.
So they were both supposed to do a show in Wilkes-Barre. Is it Wilkes-Barre or Wilkes-Barre?
Whatever.
Right. They had to postpone it. They did a video on YouTube, and they're apparently touring. And John Mulaney's taken a very... helpful approach to Pete Davidson as well. They're very close.
It's odd to me. I don't watch Saturday Night Live. I'll watch some of the highlights from time to time. So I'm not invested in Pete Davidson as, you know, somebody that I turn to for entertainment. But it's weird seeing these clips and hearing these stories about, you know, crippling depression and whatever. Or no, it's not depression. It's and it's not bipolar. What is it that he suffers from, Nick? I forgot.
It's
the
BPD, which is not bipolar. Hang on.
But it's strange seeing him joking and being happy and doing and it makes me go, I'm not sure what to think here.
I know exactly what you're saying, because it's like,
how can I laugh at this when I know that, like,
is that a defensive
suffering.
Mechanism?
Yeah, well, it's really different when the lights go on and the cameras are on.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, we're not seeing him at 3:30 in the morning when he's sitting in his apartment at home at night. And,
exactly right.
And it's borderline personality disorder.
Okay, that's it.
Which is what he suffers from. So you're seeing the up and the active Pete. You're not seeing the down Pete. You know,
right, so in one of the skits they had him dressed, Casey, if you saw it was when they were at a facility where there were people trying to get their names legally changed. And it was affected by an earthquake. It was actually a fairly funny skit. But he's dressed as a firefighter in the back. His dad was a firefighter who died in 9/11. Yeah. You know, so there's just all this stuff going on.
Let me ask you, Steve. After when Richard Pryor did the Sunset Strip and the famous one, was that before or after he torched himself?
I think Sunset Strip was after.
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And it's hilarious.
But the first night, that was the second night that you watched. The first night he completely bombed.
Yeah.
And I wonder if never mind then.
All right.
Because
you think Pete Davidson should set himself on fire?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that.
I would never say that.
But anyhow, he was on and he made some references to that tweet that he sent out. Mulaney came on and to talk about The Mule, and he said, "I've been spending some time with Pete lately to try and show him that you can have a life in comedy that is not insane, a sober domestic life." And then Davidson joked, saying, "Yeah." And after observing John's life, I publicly threatened suicide.
And then he said, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't make a joke of that, but it's funny. And Mulaney said, Pete, look at me, look at my eyes, you are loved by many. So, you know, and he hopefully knows that. I mean,
I hope so.
I don't know, it's hard to say. All right, moving on to another story. At a combative sentencing of Morgan Freeman's stepdaughter, Idina Hines' killer, the defendant's family screamed that it was the actor's fault, claiming that he'd sexually abused her as a child. Yeah, right? Morgan Freeman, here's the mother, Lamar Davenport's mother stood up and said, Morgan Freeman molested her and caused this. He did this.
Whoa.
Before being ushered out of court as Davenport was sentenced to 20 years behind bars. But wait till you hear what this guy did. Okay, so she had yelled, apparently he's innocent. It was an accident. The claims first surfaced during the murder trial. Freeman has strenuously denied the allegations. Davenport, this guy, was convicted of stabbing her to death. He reportedly killed her in a PCP-induced rage in front of multiple witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
He was convicted of manslaughter after waiving a jury trial. So it doesn't sound like Morgan Freeman's fault to me.
No, no, clearly not.
In a victim impact statement, Freeman's first wife, Jeanette Adair Bradshaw, said that there is a void in our family. Those were our last laughs together, and I'll never be able to hold my child again. I will never see her get married or have children. There will forever be an empty seat at our family gathering.
Do you know what they do? At least, I don't know, and who knows anything, you know, what goes on behind closed doors. But there was the story that was floating around about 6 months ago, five, 6 months ago, Morgan Freeman's Me Too issues. You know, you remember that? And so maybe the defense attorney or whatever tried to get some traction off of that. That could be what the case is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wendy Williams is taking a step back from her TV talk show on Fox. Her family said in a statement Friday she's suffering complications from what's called Graves' disease.
Yeah.
Is that what made her pass out on the air?
That apparently is it.
It may have, yeah. A treatment will include significant time in the hospital. Williams wants to return to work but must take a step back to concentrate on her personal and physical well-being, the family said, adding that they hope her privacy will be respected if she recovers. In addition to dealing with Graves, she's also healing after suffering a shoulder fracture in December. I don't know how that happened.
And she plays, well, she does touch football, and she also is Ultimate Fighting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's UFC. Well, repeats of the Wendy Williams show will air during the week of this week, actually, with original episodes hosted by guest stars to follow. I looked up Graves' disease, and some of the symptoms are tremors, anxiety, weight loss, heat sensitivity, stuff like that. So
Wendy Williams, you know, Preston, you in the industry, she's been on air for years.
Yeah, doing radio.
But her entire show has always been predicated on gossip.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep, absolutely.
From beginning to end, gossip.
Yep. When she had passed out live on the air, Steve, it was
she was dressed as a Statue of Liberty, wasn't she?
Whatever it
Something
was.
Something like that, yeah.
You had gone into a bit that I just found laugh out loud screaming funny.
Oh, she kept getting up.
Yes, you're like, okay, woo! Okay.
Woo! I'm okay now. Everything's right. Just right. And I'm back. Woo!
So she's going to take a break for a while. Hey, Brad Pitt has been dating Charlize Theron for about a month, according to the tabloids.
Well, they never lie.
It may be complicated per reports of a longtime feud and rivalry over film roles between Theron and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, getting back at Jolie through Theron.
But what I don't know is if it's legitimate or not.
I would like to see them both together. I like Charlize Theron, and I like him.
She's pretty tall, right?
And she's 6'8".
She's like the Navi.
She is, basically. No, she's like maybe 5'11".
Okay. Yeah,
but, I'm not sure. Sean Penn's short, and they were an item for a while.
Yeah, it can work. Going back to the royal family for a moment, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry...
Guess what I get to do?
...have brought on a new high-level staffer after a series of defections. Christian Jones joins as the Deputy Communications Secretary to the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Me and Christian Jones, Christian Jones, Christian Jones, Christian Jones. We've got a thing.
So what's the job requirement of this individual?
You know what? I don't know. Deputy Communications Secretary probably hooks up all of their personal appearances and
all
so
right.
on. She will also, this person will also be working with Prince William and Kate Middleton as well. So
I'd be curious to see a breakdown of the hierarchy and the staff that runs Buckingham Palace and who has, you know, I was watching Remains of the Day yesterday, you know, which was just a slight peek into some of that peripherally. But There's a lot of people at Buckingham Palace.
It usually seems like the Queen's private secretary.
Exactly,
is the one that's the VP.
The muckety-muck.
Yeah, the head to honcho
there. The big kahuna.
Yeah, the big cheese. A number one. Numero uno. How about this? A New Jersey-based community restaurant owned by John Bon Jovi and his wife are going to be serving a free meal to furloughed federal workers today.
Nice!
JBJ Soul Kitchen, which is owned by Dorothea and John Bon Jovi, is teaming up with the Murphy Family Foundation, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, and his wife's philanthropic organization to offer the meal, according to a release. Today's free meal will take place from noon until 2 p.m. So if you're a furloughed worker, I assume you just have to show an ID of some sort.
It's part of the Wanted Bread or Alive program.
Ah! Yes!
Bread or Alive. All right.
I like that.
Thank you.
Me too.
I like
that. I'm trying to think of other ones. Yeah. I can't come on.
I got nothing.
No. I thought this was really neat. Muhammad Ali's Kentucky hometown is going to honor the late boxer by renaming its airport after him.
Wow.
Yeah. The Louisville Regional Airport Authority's board voted Wednesday to change the name to Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport. And he would have turned 77 years old this past Thursday. He died in 2016.
Does make for some awkward radio signals when you say you're coming into Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Ali's widow, Lonnie Ali, said in a new release from the board that she is proud of the name change. She said that although Ali was a global citizen, he never forgot his hometown. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher cited research showing that Ali's name recognition is greater than the city, and said that he's organizing a group to work toward celebrating Ali's Louisville ties more broadly. The airport board said the decision came after a working group studied renaming the airport for more than a year. So that's cool.
We were talking about Swiss Army Knife entertainers, and if you talk about Swiss Army Knife athletes who could do it all, who is, you know, PR and all of that stuff. You remember he played himself in the movie about his, there was
I didn't know that.
Muhammad Ali played Muhammad Ali in a movie about a docudrama about Muhammad Ali.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Greatest, I think it's called.
All right, two more quick things. Kevin Hart is juggling multiple projects right now, including a live-action Monopoly movie just announced last week.
Oh, boy.
And now he's signed on for another after finishing the sequel to Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. He will re-team with the studio on Fatherhood from About a Boy director Paul Weitz. According to the Hollywood Reporter, the film is based on a memoir by Matt Laughlin, titled Two Kisses for Maddie, A Memoir of Loss and Love. And it follows the story of a man whose wife dies just after childbirth, leaving him with a daughter to raise on his own. He said, when I started reading this script, I was immediately touched and brought to tears. At Heartbeat, that's his organization, we seek to provide the audience with stories that evoke true emotions. And in this story does just that. Our hope is to bring honor to the Laughlin family. And we are thrilled to be working with Sony and on such an incredible project.
Do you know what? He's sort of become critic proof in a way, and also he survived this whole Oscars thing, and maybe at the end of it we'll have the biggest last laugh, because they've been scrambling. They're now going to do this thing with rolling presenters.
Yeah.
And Megan Mullally, I believe, she's hosting the Screen Actors Guild Award, or the award that we get the screeners for.
Mm-hmm.
And her whole approach is, I'm like the 10,455th person they came to, because no one wants to host these shows anymore.
Yeah.
Because they know when they agree to it, they're going to go under massive scrutiny.
Sure. Yeah. So we'll see how
I
that goes.
I wonder, though, if he is reaching oversaturation territory.
Well, you
Not
know what?
Quite yet.
He has a wise approach, though, in the way the industry is. You might as well grab everything you can. And if he was flopping right and left, which he is not, in fact, his last movie did really well, despite all the controversy, you know, the Bryan Cranston thing. Why not?
He's also going to be in a remake of The Great Outdoors.
No!
Yeah. So,
no!
I know.
Dude!
So he's a producer and star of it.
That movie's pretty old.
It doesn't need to be...
Okay.
It doesn't need to be remade. I mean, if
it
you're
just
gonna,
doesn't.
It doesn't. Who's going to be the John Candy? Is he the John Candy role?
There are two other actors in a case that I don't recognize their names. Tristan Cantav.
Tristan.
And Tina Lewis.
Yeah, I would think that he would be the lead character. He's the comedic lead in that, I would imagine.
Yeah, but then who's going to eat the old 96er? Not him. He's too small.
Maybe they change it. Maybe they don't have
Maybe they
the
make
old,
it the 36er.
Maybe they don't have the old 96er in there. Well,
I mean.
What I was going to say was he's really kind of
gotten into this Will Smith type of territory, headed in that same trajectory.
More dramatic.
Started doing all the comedy stuff and having real wonderful success. Now is dabbling with the more drama. He's a little too short to be a full-on action star. He's in great shape.
He is.
He can pull off the look, but I think he's a little too short to move into that territory like Will Smith did. But he seems to be having that same type of career trajectory, you know what I mean? Where, like, he can't do anything wrong right now.
That would be actually kind of wild. Now, Tom Cruise has never shown for his real height in the Mission Impossible movies. But what if you had a guy...
Yeah.
You know, like...
Who is not...
diminutive,
yeah.
You know, but who is that, you know? Yeah. I don't know. That'd be interesting.
All right, and then one last thing, Steve. Riverdale star Madeline Pesch. Is that how you say her name? P-E-T-S-C-H.
The redhead?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, is she a singer?
No, she was a dancer.
Oh, Jinx, oh my God!
Haven't heard that in a while.
I know.
It's good.
Is she a singer?
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
Do you say call me at the end of that?
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
Call me. And Nick's yelling, stop.
So anyhow, yeah, she's the redhead, Cheryl Blossom on that show. She's a stunner.
Mega. I mean, you know, absolutely. The classic redheaded femme fatale.
Kissed by fire.
Kissed by fire.
She will star in an executive and executive produced a comedy horror film called Claire at 16, which is based on an upcoming Don Roth novel. Mark Pavia, who did The Night Flyer, is going to write the adaptation and direct.
The Night Flyer, Stephen King?
Didn't they recently do a new version of that, or am I wrong about that?
Oh, maybe they did. I love the original with Mel Farrar.
The story follows a high school student who has to live with her grandparents after being orphaned. Her upset life gets crazier when evil invades her grandparents' small town, and she is the only one brave enough to fight it.
I will see it. She's really good in the role. She's exactly what you need her to be for Riverdale. My Riverdale peeps, you know what I'm talking about.
So Claire at 16 is what she will be doing. All right, we're ready to hit the clips here. M. Night Shyamalan has a process for creating films, and he asks his actors to trust it. In this clip, James McAvoy peels back the curtain to reveal how the director stays true to his scripts. Here we go.
Night doesn't love it when you improvise. He likes to hear the words that he wrote. Weirdly, as Hedwig, he'd let me improvise a little bit more. They'd be more receptive to sudden moments of improvisation or ideas that I had to add lines or take away lines sometimes.
What the f***?
So he was, how was he in the movie?
He's great. He's a phenomenal actor.
He was so impressive in Split.
But there's, you know, I don't want to beat up on this movie bad. Casey and I didn't really care for it, for Glass, which is in theaters now, by the way. But there are some points where he really, as the Beast, is just.
And when he talks, it
wears thin after a while. Yeah, yeah.
But
you don't understand.
I liked him, though, because in Split, he has moments where he's talking and he's talking.
Yeah, but you know what?
You will be part. Like, that was like that.
There's more Beast in this than there is in the other movies.
You only get a little bit of that in Split. Right. You get a lot of it.
And then he's like, and I'll take a number six medium.
I really have to go to the bathroom.
So is it, there, not to give too much away, there is a big confrontation, as there must be, between.
It was very underwhelming.
Well, there is. There's a big, yes. There's a battle of sorts, and you see it in the trailer, so I'm not giving too much away, but it just...
Nell go tie.
I was a little disappointed. I was more than a little disappointed, unfortunately.
All right.
Glass is in theaters now. Listen, I'm just going to be honest.
Oh, you're right. You have to call him as he's... I mean, you're a major journalism reporter.
And I'm a major...
Reporting journalist.
I'm a major M. Night Shyamalan fan, but I just, you know, whatever. We're moving on to the next clip. Celebrity Big Brother is the celebrity edition of the show Big Brother. Really?
What?
Is it? Is
when
that
has that been the
celebrity
case?
Big Brother?
So you're saying that the people in the Big Brother house are celebrities?
Yes. And they are, yes. Yeah. It's the celebrity version of Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
In this clip, contestant, oh my God, yeah. Dina Lohan.
Oh my God.
Talks about how Lindsay helped her prepare for the show. Here we go.
She packed my suitcase for me. She got all this makeup for the house or to share with. She way overpacked, but it's better to have more than less, I guess. Because I don't know what to expect.
You're a complete dirty whore.
That was it? Yeah. That's what she commented on. Lindsay put makeup in her suitcase.
Tell me you're not going to watch after hearing that.
Oh, my God. I mean, come on.
Do you want me to give the rundown of everybody on the show?
Let's hear the celebrities and Celebrity Big Brother. You have to remember, these are celebrities that can afford to be out, locked up in a room like this for 6 months.
There's one or two that you'll go, okay.
Okay.
And the rest is just a blur.
All right.
We mentioned this last week. Anthony Scaramucci.
Yes, the Mooch.
Yeah, who was with...
Trump for about 6 days.
Group, yeah. Joey Lawrence, okay.
All right.
I've always liked Joey Lawrence.
Yeah, he's the Jack Nicholson of this group.
Yeah, totally. No. But he might be. Jonathan Bennett.
Who the?
I don't know who that is. Bennett, Nick.
Oh, it's the guy in Mean Girls. The connection to Lindsay Lohan, but he's the guy that sits in front of Lindsay Lohan in class.
So
she has a crush on.
I just watched him in one of the Hallmark Christmas movies, Preston.
That's what he does.
That's
now.
Where his career is.
Yeah, he was Aaron in Mean Girls.
Candy Burris, KANDI is how you spell Candy, and then Burris is BURRUSS.
I think she was a singer.
Let me see.
No, she was a dancer. God damn it.
No, she was a dancer. Jinx, oh my God!
Kill me! Photo of her. She's a singer, songwriter, television personality, actress, and businesswoman.
Was she a businesswoman?
She was a member of the group Xscape. I remember them from my Kenny Knight days.
And she was in Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay. And her writing contributions were on the TLC hit song No Scrubs.
She wrote the second volume of Mad Libs.
Okay. She's in it. Cato Kaelin. But okay. You can see that.
All right, Cato Kaelin, of course. All right, of OJ fame.
Yeah, Lolo Jones.
Yes,
I don't know who that is.
She was on MTV. An athlete.
Okay.
She was not on MTV.
She was. She was doing correspondent work for them for a while.
Okay. Yeah. She's known as an Olympic medalist and a bobsledder.
All right. Natalie Eva Marie or Eva Marie. Natalie
she
Eva.
A singer.
Marie? Not.
No,
a
she was a dancer. Jinx! Oh my God.
WWE.
Okay. Ricky Williams. I know that name.
Oh,
from NFL. 6ABC.
No, Rick Williams.
NFL running back.
Hello, being on Big Brother. He was famous for being a decent running back, but also for openly smoking marijuana.
Oh, my God. This is what they got?
Here you go, Steve. Ryan Lochte.
He's actually more famous.
Yeah. Swimmer, right?
Yes, oh, swimmer. Yeah. He's got into that whole thing down in South America, with the saying that they were robbed at gunpoint at a gas station. It turned out to be a fake story.
Isn't he the really, really stupid one?
He's very stupid.
Yeah. Then you have Tamara Braxton. Is that Tony Braxton's sister?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
she was on Braxton Family Values or whatever the hell it was.
All right. And then the last person on Celebrity Big Brother, our buddy Tom Green.
Oh.
And I could see Tom Green. Right. Being a legitimate name on there. All right, so anyhow.
All right, I won't watch.
This has been Celebrity Big Brother.
You've talked me into not watching.
Thank you. I did. My job is done here. And that's what I have entertainment-wise for you this morning. So we're going to take a break. Casey wants me to make you aware, and because he's the resident fish head around here, fish fan, if you will.
Fish face.
Each day this week we have some special fish giveaways. I'm not going to do it right now. But they're coming in town for three shows, right?
Yeah, at the end of June, they're coming in. I believe it's the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Three dates here in Philadelphia.
When was the last time you had them in Philly like that?
For three dates, they usually do two.
Yeah.
To have them here for three is huge. And I'm telling you, listen, you don't care about fish, that's fine. I don't want to hear it. There are tens of thousands of people in this city that do. I saw them at Madison Square Garden over the Christmas break. They sound better than ever.
Okay.
Better than ever.
And you're excited? You're going to see every night?
I probably am.
Yeah.
Sunday night I may skate a little bit early because I got to get it for work the next day. But Friday and Saturday night, I'm there.
Wow. So tickets go on sale this Friday. We'll have your chance each day this week to win some tickets. And then by Thursday and Friday, we have some special, like, 3 days passes
what?
To go to all three shows. Yeah,
well, so there you go, Fisher.
Listen up for your chance to win. So it's all good. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. The Geeter stopping by. Jerry Blavitt will be here. We're going to talk to our buddy Justin Guarini, a charity event coming up he wants to mention. We'll help out our vocal coach any day and a few other things as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
You know, I assume it's a nice sunrise today, but I can't tell because our windows are frozen and there's nothing but ice across them, which you don't see very often.
No.
Here. I don't ever remember the windows being iced over like that. Maybe they have in the past.
Yeah, they have been, but it's very rarely. And so you're starting to see where the sun is coming up, starting to melt a little bit in the center parts of the glass. It's wild.
It's going to be a clear day today. Yeah. It's going to be bright, but it's going to be really, really cold. And it started that drop yesterday. I went out. I forgot. I went by to pick up my son. He spent the night at a friend's house. And where I was picking up, I went inside. And they're like, is it really cold out yet? And I was like, and this was at like, I don't know, 10:30, 11 a.m. I'm like, no, it's actually really
nice. It was nice.
Really nice.
I was walking the dog a little bit out in the, around the yard, the neighborhood, and the whole thing just quickly in the morning. And I go, well, is this thing even going to show up? Then later on, Preston.
Yeah, like 3 or 4.
About 3 or 4, I asked Alexa what the temperature was outside. Mm-hmm. And it said, it's why, Steve, it's 40 degrees. And so I put on my 40 degree outfit and I go out walking and the wind was, I could feel the temperature dropping. Wow. And I was like, with the dog and I are basically like running around the blocks to get back home. It was brutal.
Yeah. I had stepped out later in the evening last night for just a little bit. What I wanted to do was I wanted to get my, I warm up my car. I've got a remote start.
Yeah.
But I make sure that if it's going to be cold like this, I'll go out and put the heated seat on.
Right, you have to. Right.
Temperature way up. Put the fan ready to go. So when I start it, it'll be warm when smart. I get in. And I stepped out for just a couple of minutes. And I came back in and my pants were freezing cold. And that's not normal. And so, God bless you. If you got to work out today outside today.
Yeah.
I really hope you got plenty of, layers.
Like, I feel
bad
for the Flag Force people, like when there's like road construction or something going on and you just have the people that stand there with the stop sign.
In one spot.
And the slow sign.
Yeah, they're not moving around.
Yeah.
Any construction like that, any people that do stuff like that, I mean, they get the worst of it. We say the same thing in the dead of summer.
Right.
When there's a heat wave. I think I can handle the hassle of a heat wave more than I can this brutally biting cold.
Man. Yeah, I think it's harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just sucks. Here's two things that happen. It sucks the energy out of me, and it makes me incredibly hungry.
Makes you hungry?
Yeah. When I get very cold, I get hungry.
Okay. It is kind of an excuse to eat more.
Yeah. An excuse I don't acquiesce to. Yeah.
Well, and you're inside. You know what I mean? You're probably sitting in your house looking at your kitchen.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, the chair's made of Oreos. Yeah.
By the way, Chuck D'Amico, I'm really happy for him. He's our assistant program director here. He builds an ice rink in his backyard every year. Yeah. And
he's waiting for this temperature.
Waiting for this, yeah. And he has sort of perfected it. It's big, but, not like... It's not the size of a normal ice rink.
It's not regulation, but it's pretty freaking big.
Yeah. So when he gets weather like this, it's going to, even though it's going to get a little bit warmer later on in the week, the weather today will help keep that ice for a little bit longer, don't you think?
Yeah. Lois, we've had some brutal winter. I think last year it was around this time last year, we had like 8 days where it was just brutally cold. I have the heat running in the house and the whole thing, obviously, but you can just feel it. You can just sense that you're going out. It's going to be a mofo.
The coldest I ever remember being is, and it was a really abnormally cold day in the late 80s, November.
Yeah.
Right. And so it just didn't make any sense for it to be as cold as it was. And my brother had a championship football game that day. And it was so impossibly cold.
Was the actual air temperature cold, or were you just cold?
All of it. And so that, you know, they played for, it was the Folsom Falcons against the Ridley Park Parkers, and I think Ridley Park ended up winning like 7-0 because it was just
go Parkers.
Yeah, but it was just, and so they played at Sun Valley High School, and I just remember everybody being so bundled up, and even that wasn't doing it.
If you're moved, like for example, again, mm-hmm. I go out and I hike every day, and if you're moving and you keep going and you're going to warm up, you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I remember one time where I was hiking and It got away from me, and I got back home, and I had some mild frostbite on my toes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, man. Because there comes a point at which you start to, and people don't realize this, you start to numb up.
Yeah.
And you lose your perception of just how
sure
cold you are. Yeah. And I'm like, what the? And I remember, like, my feet have never been itchier. Like, when you come in, it becomes like...
Oh, yeah. Like the thawing out process.
Oh, my God. And it was just horrific. So people have to deal with, like, real deal. There have been a series of avalanches out west. You know, people have to deal with real full-blown frostbite and all that stuff. It's horrific.
Have you ever known anyone who's had... Because if you do get, you know, straight-up frostbite...
Yeah.
And you put water on there, it can bubble up and blister.
A burn.
Yeah,
a friend of mine had that.
It's essentially what it is, I think. Frostbite is kind of a burn.
You can get my dad had it on his face, and his blistered as well, but not from putting water on it. And he didn't realize we were actually in Vermont. We were at Jay Peak skiing. And
was it the same thing? He lost
and we were completely, it was freezing. I remember it was the last day that we were there on vacation, and the rest of my family kind of called it, you know, a week. And my dad and I were like, let's go out for a few more runs before we leave. We were leaving that day, mm-hmm. and it was freezing. And we came in, and we had bundled everything up, and he just had like a small strip, I guess, of his cheek that was exposed, and it was white and had bubbled up.
Wow.
Got like, I think a little bit on the tip of his nose too.
While we're talking about it, can someone show me how to do the scarf properly?
Where's your scarf?
I'll go grab
that.
Steve's gonna go to his scarf because apparently he doesn't know how to wear it.
No, all of my gear that I have is I have some good, like there's a place called the Warming Store in Manayunk, and it comes up. The stuff I have is all electric. You know, if it gets brutally cold and it comes up high, the coat that I have is lower, but I've always wanted to put on a scarf properly.
Grab his. All right,
it's under my
Marissa's
no,
got.
No, it's. I'll get it.
it's in a special scarf place.
Nick, what's the temp over like Jack Frost Big Boulder right now?
Oh, you know, it was good skiing this weekend, Case. I'll look it up. But they didn't have to make snow for the first time. I think they actually got some snow. Oh, they got a lot of snow.
They got the snow we were kind of supposed to see the end of.
Yeah, exactly. So they some of the places in the Poconos got like a foot. So they had been making snow all winter, and this was the first weekend where they did not have to make any.
Speaking of making snow, you know, my kids have the day off. I was going to text my wife and tell them to do the boiling water thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely cold enough for that, right? Where you can go out and throw it up in the air and it turns into snow.
Dude, I did it last night in the house, and it was not the same effect.
You got to go outside.
No, the cats all went scattering.
Yeah. All right, you're making your first mistake.
What am I doing?
Don't put your jacket on first.
See? All right, so Steve is started to put his coat on, and Kathy is jumping in.
Was that the big mistake?
Well, it's part of the mistake, I think.
Right. Yeah, I bet she's right.
So let me see your scarf. Let me see.
It's a flyer scarf.
You may have to take your headphones off to show us your wrap. Okay. What?
Yeah, this is easy. I'm going to give you two options.
Let him show how he does it first.
I know what he does. I've seen him do it.
All right. So he's putting it up. Oh, what are you doing? He's tying it like an old cartoon would if you had a toothache.
So I would.
Where you tie it around your chin and over your head.
Look at it.
Shut up.
Oh, see, yeah, no, that's wrong.
That's cute. I don't know. I never do scarves.
Adorable.
Don't
Come
put
here.
It over the front.
What am I, a fancy
right, well,
boy?
I'll let Kathy.
No,
right.
I would say put it over the front first. But
how do you do
have
it?
To even it out.
Show me.
Get the middle of the scarf.
Can you tie your shoes for him too, Kathy?
Yeah, right? Okay, so you want to get the put the middle around your mouth.
Around the mouth.
And
okay, so she's starting.
So both ends come forward, and look, now you got extra coverage.
There you go. She
then
just fixed the problem.
Then you put your jacket on and zip up.
No, I thought it had to be in the back. Like Superman, like you would, you know. Like
no.
So you're saying then when I put my coat on, it'll hold it in
it's
place.
It's going to hold it in place.
Because I see people raise their scarves up and lower them, and I'm saying, how can they do that? All right. So if I do this.
So he's putting his coat on now.
Have a cool. It's very cool.
Put your thumb through
there.
It's
an electric coat, by the way.
Need some help?
Now what? Please. I've been putting on my coat for 10 years.
He has to put it on the ground upside down.
Yeah.
Stick his hands in.
Are your mittens attached to the end of the sleeves? Or?
So, okay, Kathy. And then I know this is a life skill I should have acquired.
No. You know what? A lot of guys don't, if you don't wear scarves, they don't know how to wrap them around.
I've never worn a scarf.
I don't like scarves.
My wife wears scarves all the time, and I'm like, she looks really toasty.
Too constricting for you, Case?
They just don't, they don't stay where they're supposed to stay.
It digs into his penis.
Yes.
There's another way you could wear it, too. I wouldn't suggest it with the flyers.
Canadian grip?
No, but like if you're, you know, going out somewhere a little more fancy,
Steve,
you know, to eat or something. There you go.
You got it now. Got it? That's it.
Hey, well, look at you, kid.
I'm pretty proud of myself. I would say this. This makes sense. I put it on once after the coat.
Yep.
Kathy nailed it in the first few seconds. I had no... Did you all know this, or did someone have to?
I don't do it that way, but I've never had a real problem with mine. I start with it around the back, and I offset it, but I just wrap it around twice.
You do?
Know what I mean? Yeah. So I'd have to show
what's
you.
What's that? Is that European style?
No, it's the Preston style. It's all the rage.
So you just like I can do this.
There you go.
I'm good.
See.
Yeah. Speaking of scarves, can I have a question? Ask a question.
Yeah.
Burberry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Why? It's just why are those $1,000?
It's just the name. It's the name and the print.
When we were in London, we went by a Burberry store, and I go to my wife, I go, oh, Burberry, I know that name. And she goes, yeah. She goes, you know those scarves that cost like $500-$600? She's like, that's who makes them.
Are they cashmere?
I'm not sure. I've never had one.
But it's that brownish print, brownish plaid print that looks really cool with the stripe of red in it.
Yep.
It's a neat pattern, but... It's insanely expensive.
It's
just
one of those things.
I got mine in a Flyers swag bag.
Yeah, yours was free.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's the name and the print, and if somebody's wearing it, you know what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so.
It's a little too much for a scarf.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just do, all right.
They're
question,
knockoffs.
Can you do knockoffs?
Sure.
And just spell
and
it.
Nobody will know.
Call it Burberry, but just spell it differently.
Well, it's just there are people that make that print. It's just not as nice, you know?
Yeah, that's what they say. But anyway, I like Steve's Flyers scarf, which he's putting now on.
He's practicing. You got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I like it.
There you go.
That's my
You'll
point.
Need it today, man. The wind is absolutely brutal. So, and wind chills, by the way. I think -8 degrees.
Yeah, below zero.
Ten, I heard. So if you're out and about, if my torso is warm, mm-hmm. I'm warm. My torso and then also my chin and neck. If that's warm, I'm okay. People will say, oh, you know, the head, I don't, if my head is exposed, it's not that bad, even though my head is shaved. But in that general area, if I'm warm, then I feel good.
Today's kind of a different story, though, with that biting wind.
I am I'm not a ski mask person. Are you guys?
No.
I'm a Mardi Gras mask person.
Well, that's cool, and they are fashionable.
Not as protective, though.
I find ski masks to be, I get too hot when they're on. Like, they're constricting. I end up sweating, and they're sort of, like, counterintuitive.
What do they call the, because I have the thing, it's not baklava, because it's a delightful dessert.
Balaclava?
Balaclava, yeah. So I have one of those. Where you can, it allows the flow of air in and out of your mouth and nose.
See, that's the part that I don't like.
It comes up around, keeps my eyes exposed.
Okay.
And so I'll wear shades over that. But that keeps everything open and breathing without giving you that constricted feeling there.
The longer you wear a ski mask, the more you start to smell your breath and everything, and I don't really care for that.
Well, it gets wet around the mouth area.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I don't care
about. That's why this one that Steve has is good. There's a little ventilation.
Have you seen the ones, Kathy, that it's also a little bit, it's sort of like a harder grid on it?
Yeah.
Casey, were you watching?
Yeah, there's holes.
Do those help?
I think so.
Yeah.
I used to wear those when snowboarding. Sorry, go ahead.
No. In the Chiefs game yesterday, it was outdoors. It was really cold. And a lot of players had, like Tom Brady had some kind of balaclava on.
Yeah.
But his whole face was exposed.
Yeah, so it just covers your neck and your chin, you know, up to your chin, your ears and everything
That's
like that.
That's a Slovakia.
Right. Yeah.
A Slovakia?
Yeah. In fact, I have a couple of those. I have one that I bought for if I ever want to ride my bike in the cold. I actually used it when we were at the Camp Out for Hunger. And then I got another one that's just more just for outdoorsy type stuff.
Gloves almost never work for me. It's very strange because I'll wear gloves with fingers if I need to be dexterous. And my fingers will always get numb and cold.
You are saying...
But if I wear mittens, then my hands sweat from being too hot.
Then get ones like this. They're like little...
No, like Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
So you
can
be
like
the,
a penguin.
Yeah.
Kind of like a mitten.
No, I hate gloves. Unless you have, they I've seen them marketing them now, the ones that are the heated gloves that are thinner, because a lot of times they'll give you these big ski gloves where you can't do anything with those gloves on.
Yep.
So a lot of times what I do is I drop down to just getting, like, I'll put heated pads in they're not fingerless, but they're halfway along the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And that those are exposed. So I have a heating, so I can kind of hold my hands like this.
Right.
Tuck my hands in, warm up, and then when I need to do things, my fingers are extended. But they have never really perfected a warm glove. I agree 1,000%.
Hunter's gloves are pretty good, too, because you can remove
the finger index for the trigger.
Right. And maybe the thumb, too.
What about isotoners? Remember when those
What about Fonzie gloves where the thumbs come up?
Wait, isotoners?
Yeah. Remember those?
Yeah.
Dan Marino.
Yeah. Protect the hands that protect you. Yeah.
Wait, did he endorse that?
Oh, yeah. Not only did he endorse it, but he would buy them for all of his offensive linemen so he could protect the hands that protect
the hands. Hey, man, thanks a lot for these. You're very generous with your gloves.
Uh-huh. And we've talked in the past, but Freaky Freezies or Freezy Freakies.
Freakies.
Yes. Yeah, I think I had the Freaky Freezies.
Well, I think they're back. Kathy, did you say that they're back? They brought the Freezy Freakies back?
I don't know.
What are Freezy Freakies? I'm forgetting this conversation.
They change. There are images that show up, Steve, when it gets super cold out. So,
is it Christ?
It's not Christ. No, it'd be like Transformers and crap.
Oh, okay.
No, it was never Transformers. It was like
snowflakes.
A rocket ship or like a rainbow.
Mine were snowflakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Going back to the scarf thing here, somebody wants to point out that in Scooby-Doo, the bad guys wear scarves.
Ooh, Steve.
However, during the 80s, you know, all the yuppies, they wore scarves.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we're coming back around to that time where the bad people wear scarves.
Well,
I'm not really sure.
If this has done just one thing, at least I learned how to put on a scarf.
Very good. All right. I'm glad we had this. So, obviously, the weather is a concern today. If you are indeed working outdoors, number one, we feel for you. Number two, hopefully you took the proper precautions. And number three, I hope that somebody who has to be outside for the majority of the day gets some sort of a break today, or at least maybe they don't work on days like today. I mean, I can understand cold and you got to be outside, but when the wind is as severe as it is and it's almost Arctic conditions,
well,
I would hope that you don't have to work.
Well, today is obviously, so it's Martin Luther King Day, so that's part of it. I came in and I noticed that the workers who are gutting the front of the building here, they weren't working. I assume that's because it's a holiday and not because of the cold. But I the same way you would give, like, people who work up on roofs during the summer, during a heat wave, the day off, I assume you do likewise for the... You're talking about exposure conditions.
Yeah, hope so. All right, anyhow, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment. I got some bizarre file stories that I have procured over the weekend that I want to share with you. So we'll get to that when we return. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Cassettes. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. Cassettes, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, thanks, Kat. So, yes, we have the Cardboard Classic on the way. It's one of our big events. It could be my favorite event of the year.
It's so damn fun. And Preston, this year, I can say this pretty much fairly surely, the weather's going to be better than last year. It can't help but be better.
It was so wild. We just slowly realized last year, we're like, it's getting worse and worse as this day goes on.
Listen, to show how much fun it is, even with all the crap that went on, being on a mountain with a raging nor'easter, I still had fun.
Yeah, it was just that eight-hour drive home.
That eight-hour drive, but it's the part of legend now.
Well, complete guidelines and sled applications are available at WMMR.com. The deadline to apply is Sunday, February 24th, so roughly, a month from now. But application is mandatory. Only 200 spots available. They fill up pretty quick. Best design this year. It felt so nice. We're paying you twice. We are going to double the prize to $2,000.
Wow. That is so freaking awesome.
And listen, I know that it's mainly about the glory. It's not about the money. But $2,000, that's a nice prize. Second place, still $500. And third is $250. And we have, since we have a new sponsor, we have the best Captain Morgan-themed sled.
I'm liking this because thematically, that lends itself to a lot.
More pirate ships!
Yeah!
Which, I love pirate ships.
Pirate ships are great.
But whatever you want to do with Captain Morgan, feel free to do it. And that is a $1,000 prize for that.
Damn.
The fastest sled, which is what we do quickly, and those are usually the small toboggan style. That's $500 from our friends at Sprint that are sponsoring that, and a new category this year.
Yeah,
we had a meeting about it. What's something that we can do that's kind of new and fun at Cardboard Classic? And we don't have a prize determined yet. It'll be more of a badge of honor than anything. Excuse me, but we will have a prize for our favorite fail of the day.
Completely subjective.
That can mean anything. It could mean something that disintegrates and falls apart. It could mean something that doesn't go anywhere at the top, because every now and then there are those that go about 10 feet and then they can't go any further out of poor design or whatever it may be. But whatever, our favorite fail is going to be a new category this year.
And I'm curious, Preston, this could be like an inkblot test here to see how people interpret that. Yeah. So will you, if you deem that you're out of the running because you're in the middle of some cataclysmic event and you're coming down the mountain, will you sell the sizzle in hopes of getting this award?
Yeah, we're hoping that it just happens by accident.
Yes.
And that you don't plan on doing a fail.
Because you stand to make more if you succeed on the other counts.
Correct. So listen up for the details on that. MMR VIP lift ticket presale starts on February 1st, and it's a little different than last year, so you can get the details at WMMR.com. And thanks to JP Mascaro and Sons, they're going to compact and recycle all the sleds. And we're looking forward to it. So get that information at WMMR.com now and get yourself set up for the Cardboard Classic.
Do you remember the first couple of years, or maybe it was the first 2 years, we did the bonfire afterwards?
Oh, my God. It was a great idea.
It was a great idea. However, it was the hottest thing that ever occurred on Earth.
It was that much cardboard being burned at once puts off a lot of heat. It created a small lake, to be honest.
It did, like of the boiling water. It was horrible.
Yeah, so we probably won't be doing that one again. Anyhow, get the information to the website. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom with Drexel University's Test Drive from February 11th through the 15th, and you'll experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. A woman has been mauled to death by a pet crocodile in its enclosure on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi.
A pet crocodile? I wouldn't figure that.
Sulawesi. Dizi Tuwo is her name. Had reportedly been feeding the crocodile at the Pearl Farm where she worked and where the animal was being kept illegally. The crocodile, named Mary, is thought to have bitten off her arm and most of her abdomen. It has been relocated to a conservation site while authorities look for its owner.
Bad crocodile.
Some reports say that the crocodile dragged her into the enclosure, but local conservation agency officials believe that she fell in. Her colleagues discovered her body the next morning. Officials had tried to visit the facility several times in the past to remove the crocodile, but had not been allowed in. Authorities believe that Miss Tuo's body parts may still be inside the 4.4-meter-long crocodile. So this thing's over 13 feet long.
Well, I'm looking at the enclosure there. They made a huge mistake. You've got to have a scratching post.
Police are now trying to track down a Japanese national who owns both the farm and the crocodile, but they have not been able to locate him as of yet.
There are people that do. Did you see? I sent you a story, Preston, about the amount of crocodiles and I think alligators in central PA and western PA.
In this area.
Yeah, because one of the few states that allows you to keep them as pets.
Yeah, which, and then they get them and then they don't realize.
I don't want this.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they let them go.
Yeah.
So Police recovered meth, a gun, a stolen ATV, a stolen horse trailer, and a dead bald eagle after serving two search warrants simultaneously on two homes in Anderson, Missouri. James Kivett was arrested on warrants. Charges are pending for the items located at his home. Approximately 58 grams of methamphetamines were located inside both houses that they checked.
Mm-hmm.
And a Missouri conservation agent took possession of the dead bald eagle. And there's no word why they had a dead bald eagle.
He had it taped to his shoulder.
Oh, he did. Yeah, yeah, it's like
a makeshift. But notice that it's alive.
Michael Glenn Barnes doesn't play for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's not in the rock band 3 Days Grace either. But he admits that he tricked companies into sending him more than $18,000 in free guitars, baseball gloves, and other equipment by pretending to play for three different baseball teams and pretending to be in a handful of major musical acts.
That's the coolest story in the world if we had a player on the Phillies who was also in 3 Days Grace.
Now he faces decades in prison after pleading guilty to 41 federal charges in Easton. I read all the charges. It was like 6 pages long. This guy has been duping tons of people.
But they're not going to be able to send him to prison, Preston, because he's a Supreme Court justice.
The 37-year-old from Gun Barrel City, Texas, made cell phone calls and sent out emails, text messages, and letters to perpetrate his scam between May of 2015 and September 2017. Federal authorities got hot onto his trail, Casey, after Martin Guitar and Company reported his attempt to swindle free guitars from them.
Ooh.
Yeah. Barnes admitted that he posed as members of the Phillies, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Texas Ranger baseball teams. He also admitted he posed as members of the bands 3 Days Grace, Drowning Pool, Red, Of Mice and Men, Memphis May Fire, and the Eli Young Band. So he wasn't aiming too high.
You know what he's doing? Also, he tipped his hand by spelling Phillies with an F.
Oh, I should have known. He admitted to a federal agent that he sold the items that he received at a pawn shop, and he said, I wish I could pay them back, but he can't. He faces 20 years
20 each years
for 29 counts of wire fraud and 8 counts of mail fraud. He faces 2 years for each of 4 counts of aggravated identity theft. As part of the plea deal, prosecutors recommended the judge waive the mandatory 2-year servant sentence for each aggravated identity theft charge and recommend that he be allowed to serve 2 years concurrently on each charge. Barnes faces up to 748 years in prison.
A good lawyer can knock that down to 500.
Under the deal, he'll be sentenced on May 10th. It'll be a lot less than that, but it's just he's done it so many times, and there's a charge for each time.
Looking at his mugshot, my guess is that money was going to drugs.
Maybe. A Russian man begged a judge to let his girlfriend go free after she had stabbed him 13 times, almost killing him. He wanted her to be released so that they could get married.
Aww,
listen. And he proposed to her in court at her sentencing.
I know that you stabbed me multiple times, but I would love for you to be wife. I think we can begin life with just the asterisks, no more stabbing.
At the time of the attack, the man named Shakur managed to escape his attacker. As she faced the judge to be sentenced, Shakur apparently proposed to the woman and begged the judge for leniency so that they could arrange their marriage.
In her defense, Honor, I said I would pick up milk on the way home. I forgot.
The judge reportedly postponed the sentencing, so I don't know if he's taking that into consideration or not.
You can't fight love. Yeah.
As they searched for a shooting suspect, deputies found 18 marijuana plants and drug paraphernalia in the home of a central Iowa mayor. Now, listen to all of these things that come together and make this the story.
So this is the home of a mayor?
Yeah, in the bizarre file. So number one, you got a mayor who's being busted for this.
Okay. Month.
Okay, so LaDonna Kennedy, the mayor of Jamaica, Iowa, and her husband, Randy Kennedy, were charged with drug offenses, including manufacture with intent to deliver. They were busted at 4:20 p.m. In Jamaica, Iowa.
Yeah. What were they listening to?
Bob
Marley.
I hope so. They were in search of 18-year-old Rodney Halterman, whom police suspects shot a woman in the chest on Saturday. Halterman was charged with attempted murder. He was not found at the residence, but deputies smelled an overwhelming odor of raw marijuana coming from the home as they stood outside knocking on the door because of the smell.
Irie.
They requested a search warrant, and as they waited for the warrant, law enforcement surrounded the house before the warrant was signed. Randy Kennedy came outside and was detained As deputy went inside with Kenny to grab his coat, he admitted 9 plants were in the basement. Once the warrant was signed, officials found 18 marijuana plants in various states of growth, and apparently the mayor was involved the mayor of Jamaica.
When's his next re-election bid?
I'm not really sure. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file for now. Casey?
Yeah?
Let's make a fish fan really happy
right
now. Okay. All right. So
all right.
What prize do we specifically have to give away on day number one?
We're going to give you lawn seats to night number one. Fish is playing at the BB&T Pavilion on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. That's June 28th, 29th, and 30th. So we'll have a pair of lawn tickets for June 28th. The on sale, by the way, via Ticketmaster verified fan process, will be this Friday at 11 a.m. All of the details are at WMMR.com, keyword fish, spelled P-H-I-S-H.
What number or caller you want to take?
I think we got to do 555. No, just caller number 5.
Oh, caller okay. 5. All right. Why 555?
Where's the song called 555?
All right.
So you know.
Caller number 5, 215-263-WMMR. We are going to set you up. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Geeter's going to be on this morning. Jerry Blavitt will be here. Justin Guarini checking in as well. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay warm, too, folks.
93.3 WMMR.
Online.
On demand.
And on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD. And HD2. The MM Archives channel.
Apparently Jimmy Buffett didn't help the Saints win.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he sang the national anthem at the NFC game.
Sang-ish.
I didn't see it. I haven't heard it. I know we have audio.
I've never thought of Jimmy Buffett as a singer. He's sort of like a stylist, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know,
fair enough.
Yeah.
It's not like you hear that voice and go,
wow. Oh, my God, I am wasting away in my...
But he has written some very fun songs, and he can clearly carry a tune, but he's not a vocalist, per se.
So they had him sing the anthem.
Okay. Yeah.
And my son actually asked me, why is this guy singing the national anthem? He doesn't know who he is.
Okay.
And it wasn't like you to me. Immediately, you know, listen, it wasn't the most horrible I've ever heard. It just seems like, why Buffett? But
is he from New Orleans? I know you can, you know.
He's from Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from the
South. That's a river.
He would have cheered for the Saints had he grown up watching them. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so can we hear a little bit of this?
Yeah,
I haven't heard this yet. Here we go.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watch. We're so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave. For the land of the free and the home of the brave.
At one point in the anthem, the crowd went, salt, salt.
I would call that more of a symbolic singing.
And now for a symbolic sort of quasi-singing of our national anthem in an interpreted way that's not really close to the original way intended.
Yeah, and I think it is Jimmy Buffett should have been obliged to say, you know what, thank you for the offer.
Yeah.
But no thanks.
But I'm not.
But have you heard me?
I'm not your guy. We are in.
You need George Thorogood.
We are in a land of rich, rich music history.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You should maybe go with like Trombone Shorty or somebody other than me.
Big Penis Ralph.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot of people in and around that area. Yeah, that they maybe could have gotten. But listen, it wasn't bad per se. You don't listen to it and go, ugh.
How about Harry Connick?
But it's just there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It doesn't sound that special. No. It sounds like you know Abe from the local 252.
Yeah,
you sing this.
Yeah. Can you do it, please? We don't have anybody.
That guy down there, with the bald guy. Can you sing this?
And what was funny is towards the very, very beginning of the game, in the very first possession, and for some reason, the rewind feature did not work on my cable box.
Okay.
Michael Thomas, who was a wide receiver for the Saints.
You think he had something to do with it?
He got tackled, Steve, and his pants got pulled completely down. You saw his entire ass.
What?
Both butt cheeks, crack and all.
And then they cut to it. They, like,
why haven't why haven't I seen this?
Real quick.
This should be a meme.
They cut to a wide shot of the stadium. Was it called the Superdome?
Yeah.
The Superdome, right? Because they were like, oh, my God, cut the camera fiber. Because it was an entire ass, And then I went, my son was like, Dad, did you just see that? Wait. He's like, here, watch this, guys.
All right.
And then they cut away real quick.
They cut away right before we got to the ass.
Yeah, a little butt crack.
Oh, that's,
yeah.
I thought he was like down around his ankles.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But
all right. So apparently, Tom Brady in the AFC game dropped an F-bomb in the post-game interview.
They always do.
Okay, yeah. I missed that. But Tom Brady, of all people, should know better. I mean, they were coming to him. The guy standing with the microphone was right next to him. And then there was a guy that ran out on the field at the Chiefs game as well.
Yeah, they didn't show that, but there was reference to it. I guess Tony Romo and whoever.
There were a lot of inappropriate with Brady. Brady manually stimulated a donkey on the field,
which I was like, why is there a donkey?
Why are they bringing out this donkey?
I'm going to come back to the game to football, but speaking of dropping an F bomb. The Pacquiao Broner fight was over the weekend.
Pacquiao won the decision.
Dude was not happy. Broner, which I don't know much about the guy.
I don't either. Now, it's on Showtime, Preston, so they have a little bit more latitude, but they try to keep it really on the up and up with the language.
Yeah, and who is it? Jim Gray? Is he the guy that came over
I think that's it. Yeah, really, really like a professional button-down broadcaster.
Been doing it for years.
Yes, one of the best.
Yeah. And then he comes over to talk to him post. He talks to Pacquiao first, and then he goes over for the fight, and immediately you're like, uh-oh.
But listen to his line on the way out when Broner, you know, tries to insult him, and the logic of the response at but listen to the whole thing.
All right. Manny, thank you.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you next time. Adrian?
Yeah, bring your motherfucking ass over here. I got a lot to say.
Bring your motherfucking ass over here. I got a lot to say.
We're going to conduct this professionally or we're not going to have an interview. You make the decision. What did you think about the fight?
I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him.
Sounds like they don't know that.
They don't.
Yeah, sounds like they don't believe that.
The crowd is overwhelmingly booing him.
No!
Showed the fight. He was missing. I hit him clean more times. I beat him.
You averaged 8 punches. Less than 8 punches was the most punches that you had in the round, and it seemed as though you couldn't get
it
close enough.
Like, it already sounded like you was against me. So I already ain't
not against you.
It already sounds like you were against me. He's just telling him the facts of what happened.
By you
fight.
Relaying the facts of the situation, it's clear you are against me.
Yeah. I already ain't got a fair shake talking to you, but let me talk something. Let me let y'all know. I want to thank the whole hood who came out here. I love y'all. I did this for the hood. Y'all know I beat that boy. They trying to, what they trying to do is they trying to get that money again with Pacquiao and Floyd, but it's cool. I ain't worrying about it. I'm still that man. I'm on top. Cincinnati, stand up. West Side, 2-5.
You're 3-3-1 in your last 7 fights. What will you do next?
Hey, I'm 3-3-1 my last 7, but I'll be 7-0 against you.
Well, that wouldn't mean much. That's the end of this interview. Good luck to you in the future.
That wouldn't mean much. That's a great
perfect comeback.
Line.
Yeah.
That is a great line. But going back to the championship games over the weekend, the Commerce Championships, Case, you said during the news that that you want to boycott the Super Bowl.
Well, and I think I will tell you that it's thin because had the Chiefs won last night, maybe I would have had a little bit more of a vested interest in watching, you know, the Super Bowl because I like Andy Reid and perhaps I'd like to see him win his first Super Bowl. But because it is a boring, boring matchup of the Patriots once again and the Rams, who the L.A. doesn't care. They don't care whatsoever about, you know, that team being in the Super Bowl.
It is a less than riveting pairing. And then if you stop and look at the fact, and sorry for just jumping in here, but is it true that of the last 18 Super Bowls, the Patriots have been
9 times.
Nine times.
Hey, listen, Tom Brady, and I'll argue this to anybody who wants to argue it, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Bill Belichick is a wonderful coach, but it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with the officiating. And I've had a problem with the NFL officiating for a long time now.
Well,
this year was especially bad. And, you know,
two glaring incidents yesterday.
Yeah,
yes.
In fact, I actually had to go back and delete a lot of some tweets that I had over the season about the officiating because Beasley started following me on Twitter. So I'm like, because I spoke my mind. I spoke my mind. There were a lot of F-bombs and
well, you're
it has nothing to do with my fandom of the Philadelphia Eagles. granted, I watched every single snap of the Eagles season this season, but I also watched the NFL Red Zone every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of NFL football this year, and the officiating was terrible. It was terrible, and they were the sole reason why the Saints lost yesterday.
So, a quick question.
Yeah.
Everyone seemed to know right from the get-go that something was anomalous and bad, and it was the wrong way to make the call. Why did it move forward if everyone seemed to know this was – and explain what had happened.
What had happened was the receiver for the Saints, and I can't even remember his name, was clearly interfered with, and this is at the tail end of the game. As they're driving to go down, and it was a third down play, and what the non-call, the non-pass interference call, caused the Saints to have to kick a field goal right then and there.
Yeah.
And then that gave the Rams an opportunity to go down and kick a field goal.
They could have run down the clock a little bit more.
Yeah. Now, also, at the same time, before that, they missed a clear face mask call against Jared Goff, which would have caused a first and goal where they had to kick a field goal to tie the game. So
how are they missing this when you have a quarter of a million cameras trained on the field?
And I don't know, but like, and then after that missed call, I'm in the process of writing, okay, the refs are going to have to do a makeup call. And as I was writing it, there was a makeup call that they call it a pass interference, which is a ticky-tack pass interference call. I'm like, if you're going to call that, how could you not call the blatant one? It's to me, it's ridiculous.
What were you writing?
I was writing that the
Dear Diary.
Are you writing in your diary? Or
today I met a boy.
I was tweeting out. I'm sorry, I didn't know. I thought I was tweeting out.
No, okay, sorry.
I was tweeting out the fact that the refs were going to do a makeup call, and as I was writing that tweet out, there was a makeup call. I was like, I cannot believe this. This is ridiculous.
Well, I started seeing the Twitter explode with when this happened. So you were not alone in your take on this whole thing.
I don't think there's enough accountability for the referees, and it's a shame. I would never want to be an NFL referee. I would never want to be that guy who makes that call, who, you know, takes the game away from somebody, whether it's a good call or a bad call or whatever. I've been to enough sporting events with my children. These poor referees in a fifth and sixth grade basketball team that are getting, you know, yelled at by parents and stuff like that. I've been, cities hit your guts. I was an umpire for intramural softball. Umpiring my friends' games and getting yelled at. Like, so I get it. I would never want to be on that end of it. However, you're a professional, and there's like zero accountability. So, and I'm sorry, I'll let you talk, Nick. But when Malcolm Jenkins says after a game, you know, when he condemns the refereeing, I think it was the Cowboys game, and he gets fined $25,000, but there's zero accountability on the referees for making the bad calls, which caused him to say that about the referees after the game. I just throw my hands up. I'm like,
in the air, like you just don't care.
Like but I do care.
But you care.
Well, ostensibly, these are the best in the world at what they do, right? The NFL referees are supposed to be the better referees of all football referees in the entire world. So why collectively are they so poor? And when it's not just you bitching about it, when it's everybody and people with eyes, and Steve, you mentioned the number of cameras on.
Yes.
Why does this system still continue to exist if it's that terrible?
Probably because you can't see everything all the time.
But cameras
can. You're right.
But I know cameras can. But why not hire more refs per game?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have more eyes, more of a likelihood that somebody will see something. Now, you're seeing everything from every angle. But then, of course, you know the pace of the game slows down if they're going to have to stop and analyze every single play, especially already at the pace that football moves.
How do you feel, Preston?
A lot of hurry up and wait.
About the concept of each player having a personal ref that runs around with them on the field.
You know,
Steve,
that could be just to keep an eye.
I thought about that, Steve. I thought about maybe you don't need 22 referees on the field, but maybe 11. 11. So you have a referee for each matchup. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it just seems to me ludicrous that you had two incredibly contested calls yesterday, and everyone, at least everyone, seemed to be at least most people seemed to be of a mind that they were erroneous.
Right?
How they're not reversed
and
immediately reversed.
You know, careful what you wish for, because you know if you ask for more referees, I mean, you could probably call a penalty on every single play in the NFL. You probably could.
Well, also what happens is that the normal rebuttal to that will be yes, but sometimes it breaks in the other team's favor.
Yeah, and that's the, there are bad calls and good calls on both sides of the ball. Like I had said, you know, maybe we don't even worry about that pass interference call if they call the face mask penalty on Jared Goff at the, you know, towards the tail end of the game, the one that caused them to kick a field goal to tie the game rather than take, you know, score a touchdown to put them ahead.
Well, I tell you what, Case, I'll boycott the Super Bowl with you.
You will?
I'm on board.
All right.
Yep. Oh, really? Even the commercials?
Yep, everything.
Oh.
I will.
Commercials?
Just for Brotherhood.
Are the commercials even anything anymore?
You know what? I specifically don't watch them ahead of time because I want something to look forward to. If it's not a good game, I will still sit there and watch the commercials and I... Shh. Quiet, I need to hear this. Everyone's like, oh, God, I need to watch this for work.
You are, I know.
You're watching the commercials. They're going to be released over the next 2 weeks
anyway.
I know,
that's what I just said. I specifically don't watch them.
Well, now you can.
So that I can.
She has something to watch during the game.
Did you just hear what I said?
I did. But what do you want? Why don't we do something?
What do you mean?
Come on. Let's go do something instead. I don't want to just
like
sit in my...
Like me and you?
All of
us. Like get a hotel room.
Nah.
You want to get a hotel room?
No.
Me neither. Me neither. No. Let's just go to your house.
Yes, my name is Mr. Goldsmith. Could you take Mr. Goldsmith's bags up to room 208?
Hey, let's go do an escape room, guys.
You know no one's going to be there that night.
Yes. Well, I'm looking to do anything.
I have to go do an escape room. Jace is obsessed with them, and we did one, and now he like wants to do all of them. But the
couple
thing,
of us.
I know, but the thing, we have to because we tried to do one, the one in the Plymouth Meeting Mall with just the two of us.
Yes,
there's no way.
No,
it's not a typical escape room though. Preston can't talk today. Did you do the one in the mall?
No.
Okay, it's very different. It's much easier.
Okay,
but still,
it's
with
an unlocked
me
door
and a 7-year-old, not happening.
You got to come with the winning team here. Okay, we'll take. Yeah, we'll go maybe do one this weekend.
Okay, yeah, he loves
so them. What Tom Brady is to football, Preston is to
escape rooms, right.
He's the GOAT of escape rooms.
When was the last time you didn't get through it? Like, you didn't win?
I can't remember.
Right?
Yeah.
Never happened.
I think there's only two that we never got out
of. And just because you had food poisoning.
We've done over 30 of them, so.
I think I'm the Andy Reid of escape rooms. I've never won.
But anyway, back to the football game. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us down to escape rooms. For something else to do on Super Bowl Sunday. So you think you can go the entire Sunday without watching the game at all, Case?
Yeah, I can.
I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
Just because it's a pop culture thing that we have to talk about. And I'm not thrilled about the pairing, you know?
No, nobody is, except if you live in those cities. And even if you live in L.A., you don't really care. It's a rematch of the World Series. It's Boston versus L.A. again.
True.
Okay.
Which is also obnoxious.
Oh,
the Red Sox versus the Dodgers. I'll tell you one thing that I've totally come around on is Tony Romo as an announcer.
Oh, he's a great announcer.
He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I didn't like him as a player because he was a Cowboy. His excitement and his knowledge and his ability to predict what was coming up next is really impressive. And in a world where people, broadcasting world, they're paid to be pretty boring most of the time. He's not.
And why would he?
He's doing the Super Bowl.
Why would he not be a coach?
Probably gets paid more and has less stress in the
less
broadcast.
No, you're right. But like when he was going, like he's calling this game, and he goes, "Okay, Tom Brady just checked out of that. He just killed that play, and look up at the Rob Gronkowski at the top of your screen. He's going to throw it to Rob Gronkowski, and then he throws it to Rob." I'm like. He knew that.
Yeah, he knew
why
he was coming.
Why didn't everybody else? Why didn't the guy defending Rob Gronkowski know that?
Uh-huh.
And he called it, and he does that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, almost all the time.
Why aren't they simulcasting that to the helmets of the...
Well, because you, when there's 15 seconds left on the play clock before the snap of the ball... There's zero communication in the helmets, so
the audio books kick in.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the sidelines.
Catcher in the Rye, read by Kevin Spacey.
You'll see on the defensive side and on the offensive side, Preston, they'll have a green sticker on their helmet. That means they're the only ones that can communicate with the sidelines.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
So it's usually the quarterback and whoever the defensive captain is, usually like middle linebacker or whatever.
15 seconds before?
15 seconds, they cut off communication. Yeah.
I didn't even know
so
that.
They can't give them any last-minute observations.
Oh, he's killing the play. The play's going to go to Rob Gronkowski, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Holden Caulfield ends up arrested.
Yes.
You know, something like that. Just to give him an update
exactly.
on
exactly.
Is that how it ended? Because I never got to the end.
I forgot. I just made that part up. I think he did get arrested at one point. But.
Read by Edward James Olmos.
Hut.
Atticus entered the courtroom.
Anyway. Hey, speaking of Super Bowl and the commercials, Kathy, Skittles is hoping that people will think outside the box when it comes to their advertisement this year. The company announced the Skittles commercial. Quote, it's the Skittles commercial, the Broadway musical. So they did this in a press release last week. It's actually going to be a half-hour show that will have Pulitzer finalist Will Eno serve, as the playwright, and the musical will feature original songs backed by a live band. The 17-member cast will also be led by a yet-to-be-announced celebrity. Mars Wrigley Confectionery, the company that makes Skittles, announced that ticket proceeds will be donated to Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. The show will only be performed on Super Bowl Sunday at Town Hall in New York City. So it's this weird thing that they're doing, which is I don't know if they're going to take, if they're going to shoot, send live portions of it to the commercial.
Or are they just during the Super Bowl going to run a half-hour commercial?
They can't run a half-hour commercial during the Super Bowl.
How much would that cost?
Oh, my God. Well, 30 seconds is, what, $2 million
probably
or something?
More than that, yeah. Yeah. So I'm not really sure, but that's Skittles is planning on doing something a little bit offbeat.
Have you been seeing the commercials for Rent? It's next Sunday on Fox.
No.
Yeah, the live Vanessa Hudgens.
Really?
Rent performed, the same way they did Grease. I'm so looking forward to it. Next Sunday night.
All right.
Yep, on Fox.
I am definitely on board, man. That's awesome. Okay. What else? We have some other pieces of audio to play for you today. So boycott the Super Bowl, by the way.
Yes. It'll work. You watch. It'll come crashing down.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm going to try. Yeah. Well, listen. It's my little thing that I'm going to do.
Support the Puppy Bowl, right?
Oh, always. Yeah. Always. But I got to think about what I'm going to do that night because it's not going to be a Washington Super Bowl.
All right. We have a couple pieces of audio. Over the weekend, Greta Van Fleet performed.
Yes.
On Saturday Night Live. And I didn't get a chance to see it, so I would like to hear just a little bit of that. Is that cool?
I thought they were really good, and I observed something about actually seeing them perform for the first time.
Okay.
And your old band, Preston, The Image, yes. You had shown us pictures of your lead singer, who we have come to know as Whoop Danny.
Correct.
And I thought, wow, this guy looks...
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, I'll watch the video a little bit as we're playing this. Here we go.
Oh, you know what?
Start with the ballad.
No, I'm going to start with this one. Sorry, my bad.
Wearing a really stupid looking shirt.
Yes.
It's got all these fringes hanging off of it.
Good Lord, yeah.
Very raw mix.
Yes.
Very raw.
So they had Marshall's mic'd.
Yeah.
Does that remind you of Rush?
Black Smoke. I told you, man. I think it might be when the curtain falls. I think has vocally sounds a little more like Getty than it does
Robert Plant.
Robert Plant. Yeah.
Hey, to the interns in the other room, on this video, go towards the end. Get like the last minute or so because he makes some faces.
There it is. Just had one.
All right. Yeah, you got to see these faces.
I like this song.
I'll have to get used to this. Nice raw band, but Steve, I can see why you might think he looks a little bit like Danny, my old singer, Danny Dunlap.
But he looks that the people are excited and care about a rock band.
Yes.
I thought the same thing, Nick. Complete raw, mic'd amps. guys rocking out, the drummer rocking out.
I really enjoyed Colin Jost's line in Weekend Update where he was talking about the Super Wolf Blood Moon.
Yes.
And he said, and apparently that's a celestial event and not the band that just played on our show. And nice. They showed an image of Greta Van Fleet.
By the way, the host over the weekend, she's from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Maisel, yeah.
Rachel Brosnahan?
Brosnahan. I have a thing for her now.
She's cute. Mm-hmm.
She is adorable. I started watching that show
over the
weekend, and I like it a lot.
Oh, you do?
I do like it a lot.
Yeah, I watched a bit of the first season, and I just sort of fell off a little bit. I thought it was really good, but I was like, I had superhero things to watch.
No,
yeah.
I'm caught up in it.
Yeah.
How many episodes in are you?
3.
Okay, because Alex Borstein really starts to come into her own. And, you know, she's always referred to as a man.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I can't wait for you to get to the first episode of season 2 because that is, it's such a funny, hilarious episode with her.
Yeah, that was kind of, I'm like, yeah, I was kind of bored. I had some time on my hands. I'm like, I've heard this. And let me go check this out.
Yeah.
And then I really liked it.
So you were swept up.
It was cool. Yeah. All right. And now a piece of audio from the new theme to Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Wait, is it? It's not rockapella, is it?
I don't know.
It's, tell me what you think of it.
All right. Because you remember the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
I love that show.
It's not that.
All right. Here we go.
In a world.
They're going for an Indiana Jones type of feel here, I guess.
Dark Bond, kind of.
James Bond. Yeah. Very exotic.
Where is she?
Okay, so wait. It's a cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Who is singing that? Is that a famous person that we know?
Mm,
I don't know.
We have the name, but she's mimicking another. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
We'll,
it's on Netflix. That's all that I know. I don't know much about it other than that. So,
it's got the kid from Stranger Things as one of the voices, Finn Wolfhard, and Gina Rodriguez is Carmen Sandiego.
Okay.
And Finn plays Mike in Stranger Things.
Okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And it is. Give me 2 seconds here as I get my reading glasses.
Put your scarf on.
Carmen Sandiego, the original show, sung. Okay, this is this version is by Raquel Castro, and Castro says the new version has a Camila Cabello vibe.
Okay.
I don't even know who that is either.
I don't know either.
She's very sexy, the Camila Cabello.
Okay.
You would like her very, very, very much.
All righty, so that is out. There was another story that I wanted to run by you, and I sent you guys this, but a guy named Tony Mendez.
Yes.
Passed away over the weekend. Forgery artist, master of disguise for the CIA. He is the guy that Ben Affleck portrayed in the movie Argo.
So I found out about this because Ben Affleck tweeted out about him calling him a national hero. Mm. And I was like, oh, my God.
Here's a few of the things that he did. Tony Mendez once transformed a black agent and an Asian diplomat into a pair of white business executive using masks that gave them an uncanny resemblance to the movie stars Victor Mature and Rex Harrison.
Yeah, Victor Mature played Samson in Samson and Delilah.
On another occasion, he devised an oversized jack-in-the-box, a spring-loaded mannequin that enabled a CIA source to sneak out of his car while a dummy popped up in his place. He did all these elaborate things.
What? This is James Bondian.
To get people out of dangerous situations.
Yeah.
Mr. Mendez, a 25-year veteran of the spy agency, was effectively in the business of geopolitical theater, pulling techniques from magicians, movie makeup artists, and even the television show Mission Impossible. He changed one person into another, transforming agents into characters with backstories, costumes, and documents that helped them evade detection and avoid capture in foreign countries. Appropriately for a man whose career seemed drawn from a Hollywood thriller, his greatest triumph hinged on a bogus sci-fi film, a sham production of Office in Los Angeles, and a fake location scouting expedition to Iran. Disguising himself as an Irish filmmaker, Mr. Mendez successfully smuggled six State Department employees out of Tehran during the 1979 to 1981 Iran hostage crisis, passing them off as a Canadian movie crew in a daring mission that formed the basis for the Oscar-winning movie Argo.
It's pretty amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, he did some insanely dangerous things and was incredibly ingenuitive, if that's a word.
Ingenacious.
Ingenacious.
What I would say is this, is Preston. So we know that at the end of Argo, that they amp up the tension with the airport departure and all that stuff. However, it doesn't even need to be that.
No.
Any element of that, any bit of that, would cause any one of us to crap our pants.
Oh,
you know,
God.
The tension is unbearable.
Yep.
And the fact that this was sort of the world that he lived in is amazing.
Yeah, that he would come up with these plans and then he'd have to go in and do this stuff himself to get into these dangerous areas.
Where all someone has to go, let me look at that again.
Yeah.
Let me look at your papers again.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff is like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. In the movie Argo, he's sitting around with, agents that are trying to figure out what they're going to do to get these people out. And they're like, well, we'll just, we'll send in these people who are doing agricultural, assessments,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, do you even know what the weather is like there right now? It's wintertime. There's snow on the ground.
Right,
there's
no
agriculture that's going on as we speak. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. So he knew all the little details about these societies, these cultures, and what you have to do to pass it off.
Yes,
yeah. Amazing.
Shooting down that plan for them to ride their bikes to the border. Right?
Yeah.
You know, like they're like the film idea was a more plausible idea than anything else, and yeah, just the balls behind them to do that and to do it successfully.
Yep.
The Fuller House was originally staged to get people out of North Korea.
I had no idea.
Wow. And then they said, well, we got everything here. Let's just do the series.
He, by the way, was 78 years old when he passed away on the 19th. He was living in an assisted living facility in Frederick, Maryland. He had Parkinson's disease. His wife is a fellow CIA veteran as well, Jonah Mendez. So, unfortunately, he passed away from Parkinson's.
Do you think, would you even have the remotest capability to do anything remote? Like that.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Have the balls to do that?
You could sweat me so quick. All you'd have to do is raise the thermostat in the room a couple of degrees.
Yeah.
And I would turn over state secrets in a heartbeat.
I don't like walking.
It's uncomfortable. What do you need to know?
I don't like walking through the security at the airport.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I've always done something.
Yeah.
What's the most dangerous place in the world you guys would ever want to visit?
Wolf Lodge.
Great Wolf Lodge. Yeah.
That's mine.
Dude,
that's dangerous enough.
Slip and fall,
you
can get hurt.
You're looking at a nice bruise on your knee.
Yeah. I mean, Bam Margera talked about going to North Korea, and I've heard from other people who have been there. I'm fascinated by it. I don't know if I'd ever actually want to go.
I have been in the continental United States in heavy duty areas,
crappy parts of
with
cities.
The South Bronx was the South Bronx. I was there, and for certain things, and that's about as close as I've come. But I can't even imagine. You're still in the country. You're still in the United States of America. You're on the other side of the world, and you've got very little resource. You know, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah,
that's why Locked Up Abroad is such a terrifying show for me.
I had, ages ago, wanted to go somewhere in Russia or the USSR at the time.
I'd love to go.
Just to see.
Let's go together so we can protect each other.
What that culture is like. Or I'd love to go to Moscow and see Red Square and all this.
Wouldn't you?
It looks beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not quite as dangerous as, really dangerous
Syria.
Areas. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Syria.
Well,
any of those
can
places.
I suggest something? At St. Petersburg, the Spin Doctors are playing.
Are they?
We can go see.
Yeah.
Well, we boycott the Super Bowl.
I'm going to bring up something which is kind of a stretch to touch it on that, but it is MLK Day. And not that long ago, I went and I saw something about the Freedom Riders.
Yeah.
And I decided to do a little more research on them and looked it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Those are some of the bravest people that I've ever read about.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just absolutely, it is akin to walking into enemy territory
yeah.
and getting ready it's like soldiers that head to the front, I think, have the same type of bravery that those people did. It's just incredible. They knew what they were going to do. They did it to make it a point. They're putting themselves in harm's way.
And they changed.
And they helped change the way things are. It's really worth a look at what those people did and how courageous they were. I would never have the balls to do something like that.
No. You know? But I freely admit that, and I hope you're comfortable with that.
Yes, right. Hey, listen.
Just leave me off your call list when you are going to do anything brave or impactful.
Right.
Know that I support you emotionally.
Right, exactly.
But I will not be there for you.
Yeah.
And now that we're clear on that.
You feel like need some calendars or something? And
yes.
We'll
a sit-in?
Yeah.
On the show? Absolutely.
We'll take care of that. But,
case of beer, no problem.
It's not a problem. A screener copy of Scorpion King 3.
Those things we can do.
Yeah. I see a world where one day screener copies or sit in on the Preston and Steve show.
Heroes come in all shapes and sizes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But and then there's us.
I can't think of it anywhere on my list right now, Nick, that's really dangerous that I have any desire to go to at all.
Yeah, I got like I have a friend that went to Lebanon, and not that Lebanon is Syria.
Pennsylvania?
No. In the Middle East. right next to Israel.
That one.
And there are certainly dangerous parts of Lebanon. However, Beirut used to be referred to as the Paris of the Middle East. And I would love to go visit a place like that. But I'd be nervous about it.
I'd like to go to Israel. I've heard so many great things about it. But because it's in the area that it's in and traveling and so forth, wouldn't you just hate to be in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Believe it or not, it's incredibly safe.
I know.
It's incredibly safe. Yeah. And I agree. That's the area that spawned Gal Gadot. So, it's the beach is supposed to be phenomenal. I'll say this, though. My brother, was in the Secret Service for a number of years, and he was wherever the president was going, or wherever there was a lot of stuff that was going on. He was traveling all around to these different areas, and I would certainly wouldn't go to half the places he's been to. And there, servicemen and service, women who are off in far flung parts of the world in areas that we don't want to go to. It's a very sobering thing that's their day to day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are here. doing what we do.
Yeah, and man, sometimes it's cold in a car when I get up.
Right? And you got to wait
to the
seats warm up.
Yeah,
and
my
then
garage
the
door,
wheel gets
Casey,
hot?
It didn't go all the way down this morning.
What?
The electric button. I know.
Oh my God. And you're still here.
I made it. Yeah.
Well, the heroes.
That sucks.
Word heroes thrown around.
My left side view didn't come around all the way.
Anyhow, I thought it was worth mentioning. Tony Mendez, CIA agent, and did a lot of incredible things in his career. And when that happened with the movie Argo, they weren't able to. That was all classified.
Yes.
For decades until they were able to actually reveal the information, what happened, and he got his. I think he got a commendation and so on for being a part of that.
There are many, many unsung heroes, honestly, if they're doing their job correctly, you will never hear of them.
Yeah, true.
Good the guy point. Who did Bridge of Spies, I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks's character maybe, was a professor at Swarthmore College for years and years and
really?
Years. After that. Yes.
Huh.
Swarthmore?
Swarthmore. However you feel like saying it.
Exactly.
I say swap.
Oh, by the way, Steve, you asked earlier about Wilkes-Barre or Wilkes-Barre. Well, our resident expert, Sarah Clayton, says Wilkes-Barre like the animal, Wilkes-Barre.
I will never question a Sarah Clayton call on anything.
I will until she gets us the new calendar that
right.
she came out.
Yeah. See?
That's what
we're playing good cop, bad cop,
yes,
are
we? We certainly are. All right, anyhow, with that, we should take a break, and we're going to do that very thing. We still have a couple of guests joining us. The Geeter's stopping by this morning. Got to talk to Justin Guarini as well, our buddy.
Yes.
So stay put. We'll be back in a moment or two.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of hand and stone massage and facial spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to handandstone.com today.
Steven Singer Jewelers is not revealing one new gold-dipped rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got five! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A couple of guests we're going to welcome to the show. We'll start with one who couldn't quite make it in this morning, but we'll get him on the line because he's got a charity event he wants to tell us about. But listen, this is Justin Guarini, who I'm going to officially welcome, and I'm going to play a little bit of this song of him just to remind you what a great vocalist this guy is. It's A Change Is Gonna Come. It's a cover of the Sam Cooke song. And we'll tell you the charity that's involved with this. It starts right off with his vocals. Listen.
I was born by the river in a little tent. And just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long but I know a change gon' come.
Now, as the leader of the River Valley Vocal Band, you can clearly hear where the influence comes
from. Of course.
From.
If you've ever marveled at our singing abilities, you got to take it to the man who taught us everything.
You're going to have to give it up for him.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Guarini.
Yeah.
Hey,
you
Coach.
Guys rock.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. It's great to hear your voices. I'm sorry I couldn't be in the studio today, man, but I really appreciate being here. And wait, before we get started, do my ears deceive me? Did I hear that you have the Geeter in the house?
Yeah. Geeter is right here.
I'll turn his mic on. The Geeter is here. Jerry Blavitt.
My man. Pots and pans.
Absolute legend. I just wanted to say hi to the Geeter, and hope you're having a good morning, brother. And my father-in-law actually is Bernie Capodici, who used to be one of the Geeter's dancers back in the day on the show.
What? That goes way back to 1966. But my man, I got to tell you, you nailed that song. You know, that song was released on RCA after Sam passed. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It became a gigantic hit.
It's a beautiful song.
Amazing.
Wow.
Was it one of the final things he recorded, or had it been kind of in the can for a while?
It was cut in the can.
Okay.
And when he died, they released that. Same thing with Otis Redding.
Yeah, Dock of the Bay.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I know. I heard a story, and tell me if this is true, Jerry, that because he died, Otis died before they finished that song, that whistle, which has become the iconic part of that song, was actually one of the producers that whistled it because they didn't have vocals for him for that second verse.
Is that true?
It was Steve Cropper who did that.
Oh, the guitarist.
Yes, and it's interesting because Otis Redding died in December, and 2 weeks before he died, he did my TV show on WFIL, Channel 6, Jerry's Place, and he died two weeks after that.
What did you slip in his food?
Man, no, but I'll tell you something. I said, I can't turn you loose, man.
Wow, that is wild. Such an iconic song, but you killed it, Justin. It's a beautiful thing, but there's a means to an end with the song, correct?
Yeah, without a doubt. I'll just go into a brief little backstory. A good friend of mine, Misha Collins, who plays the angel Castiel.
Yes, I know him well. I love Supernatural.
So you know what I'm talking about. So he's a buddy of mine, and he created this annual event called Gish. It's G-I-S-H. It's like fish with a G. And what it stands for is the greatest international scavenger hunt. 1 week out of the year, people from over 100 countries play a game with these awesome, crazy challenges to see who can score the most points. But in the process, you can complete these challenges that are fun and weird, like, for example, like for 120 points, take a video of your team launching a fully lit Christmas tree into space. Which is hard to do, right? But so some people use slingshots they create, and then there are some people who play like full out and tie like a ton of balloons to a lit Christmas tree with a battery pack and literally send it up into the stratosphere.
I like that.
Yeah. But as a matter of fact, the FCC called Gish 1 year to tell them to knock it off because in some of the more densely populated urban areas, airplane pilots were calling in that they were seeing these strange lit up objects in the sky.
Oh, we wouldn't know anything about that. We've done exactly the same thing a couple of times. sometimes, and you can get in trouble, so you got to watch out. So he created this this gish, and where do we go from there?
So from there, and there are other crazy challenges that people do, but why I brought that up is because a lot of the challenges have social impact, and one of the charities that the proceeds from Gish go to is the Jacmel Children's Center in Haiti. And the JCC was funded and built by the same team that puts on Gish every year, and it offers a permanent home. This is a non-adoption. It's a permanent home, education, and a better future for the orphans in Jacmel, Haiti. If you remember back to 2010, they had a terrible earthquake there that killed over 100,000 people. And these are the ones, these are the kids who lost their entire families and had nothing and nowhere to go. So the center was built. It's this gorgeous 12,000 square foot, two-story orphanage and school. And so when I found out about that, I wanted to get involved. And obviously my gift is singing and also, of course, being the leader of the River Valley Vocal Band.
Yes. Well, to put it in perspective, it was already an impoverished area, and that earthquake decimated it. And they're, you know, it's just, despite all of the aid and assistance that's been going in, they were so far back, you know, that they're covering, they'll be covering lost ground for many years to come. So something like this sounds absolutely essential.
Yeah, it is. And the place is gorgeous. There are trips that I didn't get to go on the last year's trip, and I'm going to go on this year's trip where we go and we actually sit with the kids and play music and have fun. And I figure, what can I do to help? And so a good buddy of mine, Jason Manns, who I met in the supernatural world, and I said, look, we can put together a song, and 100%, absolutely everything that the proceeds that we get from the song goes to the Jacmel Children's Center. And so you can get it on iTunes, you can get it on Spotify. There's a link at WMMR.com, and I'm just so excited because it really is a beautiful, beautiful foundation, and the kids are beautiful, and I'm so happy that we have the chance to help them.
I'm going
to
buy the song. I want to know, can people make additional donations in and above buying the song?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to, I believe it's the Jacmel Children's, it's Jacmel, forgive me for not having it, but I think on the
I think it's jacmelchildren.org.
yes, there it is, jacmelchildren.org. and I think that link is also on your website as well.
Yep. It is. Yep.
So if you go there, there's a place to donate there directly, but then if you just look up A Change Is Going to Come, Justin Guarini, on iTunes or Amazon or whatever, you can also donate that way.
All right, on a sidetrack note here, so are you tied into the supernatural folks? Is that the deal?
You know, I'm friends with a lot of those people. I've never been on the show, but I became friends with Misha. You know, Twitter really opened up a huge world for me in terms of being friends with all those guys and girls. And so I've gone to a bunch of the cons. I'm a huge shout out to my SPN family. I mean, it is a huge world in and of itself.
How the hell did we, especially me, because I watched the show. Now, at a certain point, I cut loose because, I mean, I was like 8-9 seasons into it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and it just, I love that show. But it just keeps going. It's a juggernaut. So,
yeah, it
so,
really is. It's a testament to the fans. They've tried to say, okay, look, the CW has been like, okay, like, I think we've done it. And the fans are just like, don't you dare take it off. They're some of the most awesome fans I have ever met.
They refuse to let it die. Even they admit that they've circled back on storylines ad infinitum ad nauseum. But they are there. It's just a great group of people, and it's like a Doctor Who sort of vibe to it. So we never knew that. We're going to have to extort you for contacts. So that'll be great.
That's totally cool, man.
Yeah.
But really, I think at the end of the day, it's a great group of people, great group of fans, great group of people on the show. And I love that they're using all of that energy and all that momentum to help really to help people like you.
Do good things. That's Justin, awesome. Just a quick question. Doing a little reading on you. We thought you were going to be in the studio here, but you know, obviously you couldn't make it in. But I wanted to just chat about some stuff. And I don't know if this is wiki rumor or if it's a fact, but prior to around the time of the first season of American Idol, which you were on, obviously, were you being groomed and set up to be a part of the original Broadway production of The Lion King?
It wasn't the original production. But yeah, I had, it's like, you know, you have those forks in the road that happen in your life. And so I went and I auditioned for this show nobody had ever heard of, this TV show nobody had ever heard of.
Right.
And they told me that I was going to Hollywood, and I was like, oh, okay, great. No, I didn't know what the heck any of that meant, right? Except for the fact that I was getting a free plane trip to L.A. And then about a week later, I get a call from The Lion King. And for years before that, I had done master classes. I had done auditions. I had gone to New York. I had seen the show. I had been in that orbit. And so here I am faced with this dilemma. Do I say, yes, I want to be a part of my very first Broadway show, have my Broadway debut, what I went to school for? Or do I want to try and see where this show that no one's ever heard of is going? And so I got to LA and things started going well, and I made the choice to say, hey, look, thank you so very much. I love Broadway. This is what I want to do. But at the end of the day, I think I'm going to go with this other show. And I think I've told you this story before, but 10 years later, after American Idol, I was at the opening night party of my very first show on Broadway. And it was, the opening night party was in Times Square, in the hotel, in one of the big conference rooms that I had first auditioned for American Idol.
No, that's wild. Yeah.
Man.
But, well, it's obviously, and it's one of those things, we're not presented opportunities like that very often, if ever, for many people in life, where you have two stellar possibilities and you have to make that hard choice. But I'd say it worked out.
Yeah, I think it worked out.
Yeah,
I mean, for Lil Sweet alone.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously.
And I was going to ask, is there are there any further, you know, expanding on that campaign with Diet Dr. Pepper down the road?
Absolutely, 100%. I just filmed a bunch of them last year, I think in November. So they're going to be coming out this year, and I'm just so excited. We're I think this will be season 5 of Lil Sweet.
please tell me, even if it was just a one-off half-hour special, a Lil Sweet rockumentary.
Oh, my God.
Would that not be awesome?
That's a great idea.
Lil Sweet.
I've been in their ear. I've been in their ear about this type of stuff. Because one year, one of the campaigns, I think if you go to dietdrpepper.com, you can actually see one of the campaigns that we did where I went in studio and I recorded 90 seconds of an album. But there's like 10 or 7 or 10 tracks where there's like an album of Lil Sweet, and it's ridiculous. And I say, look, you know what? If Max Headroom can have a cartoon,
yes!
Max Headroom, why can't Lil Sweet have a cartoon? So I'm on them about all kinds of things.
Like, hey, I had a friend of mine dress up as Lil Sweet for Halloween last year. So once you're a costume,
you've made it.
The world is your oyster.
Yeah, this year, and it just goes to show you how well, and fortunately how well the campaign is doing, because this year for Halloween, they actually released a costume that you can buy, and it comes in this big Diet Dr. Pepper can, and it has the wig and the scarf and the silver jacket and the little lacy gloves. It's awesome.
It's so freaking great. We'd love to see that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're gonna point people in direction of the Jacmel Children's Center in Haiti, and we have it up on PrestonandSteve.com, a link to make it easy. The song is fantastic.
It's great.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for all the love that you've given me over the years. It is my honor to lead the River Valley Vocal Band, and I can't wait to come into studio and see you guys next time. I hope you have a great week. All right?
All right, you too. Thanks so much, Justin
Gordon.
Dude can sing, man. He's got such a soulful voice. It's awesome.
And he can crank that up anytime. Yeah. Him working with us.
Oh my God.
That morning.
And he was really trying. He was trying to help us.
We weren't trying very much. Well, actually, we were. That's the sad part.
Yeah,
we were trying very much.
We just simply have not one iota of talent.
So the Gator is here, as we pointed out. It's Mr. Jerry.
Yeah.
And Justin, obviously, a big fan of yours. Now, who did he say was.
Bernie Capodici, when I was doing the TV show, The Discophonic Scene, he was one of the dancers.
Okay.
And it's interesting because Bernie really has a very talented musical ability, and the kid just carries on with his uncle and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's funny, you guys were talking about Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Here's a great trivia question. Do you know who had the original Dr. Pepper franchise in Philadelphia and Jersey?
Wow.
Who? Is it Frank's? I don't know.
Dick Clark.
No.
Really?
Dick Clark was such a businessman that in 1960, I think Pepper was from out of Texas, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He bought the franchise for the tri-state area, and he also bought the franchise for Steer Inn. Remember the hamburgers? Steer in.
Oh, wait, yeah, I do remember. They had. They were, yes, I do. Yes.
It was Steer In and Dr. Pepper Go Better with a little hamburger better.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Let me ask you something with Dick Clark. So did he accrue his business savvy or did he just always innately have it?
Let me tell you. Dick Clark, it was you have performers on TV. Like I never considered myself to be a businessman.
Yeah.
I'm a performer. I dance. I sing. Dick Clark was the most astute business guy you would ever meet. He knew that rock and roll was going to be the thing. So he took a little kick from what Glenn Miller used to do with the big bands, with the buses, and he started the super tours with all of the rock and rollers on two or three buses, which was a kickoff from the old Glenn Miller days when the bands would get on a bus and hit town to town and town. He was the greatest business guy, better business than a performer.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and I think he probably would have said that at any point in his life. That was his natural ability was to delegate and to see trends.
Well, look at the pyramid show that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the New Year's thing that he did, the game shows that he did. He put all that together. And it only really happened when he left Philadelphia and went to L.A.
So you're saying the best thing you can do is leave Philadelphia?
Well, you know, not me. I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to get a cheesesteak.
Well, listen, you've got a party coming up, and it's the 40th anniversary show?
Hard to believe.
Damn.
Yeah. Kimmel Center opened up 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 5-6 years, we did 3 shows a year. Then we wind up doing 2 shows a year. And then starting in 2012, I said, no, only 1 show a year. So this is the 40th anniversary show. And it's called Jerry and Friends because I'm bringing back people that have been a part of my life. Kim Weston, who, as you know, was very close with Marvin Gaye when they recorded together. It Takes Two. Take Me in Your Arms.
Yeah.
Brenda Holloway, you know, You Made Me Feel So Very Happy. People didn't realize that she had the original version before Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
No kidding.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
So you got Kim, and you got Brenda Holloway. You got Sonny Turner's Platters. You've got The Miracles with Cindy Justin. And you're talking about The Lion King?
Yeah.
You've got The Tokens, who sang The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yes.
So they're on it. It's a big show.
Let me ask you something, Jerry. So many, you know, and over the course of years, obviously, people die.
It happens.
You know, do you when you curate and put together your shows, there are like second and third and fourth and fifth level variations on these bands. You seek out the original components.
The original guys. Yeah. You talk about some of the performers that have passed. Jimmy Beaumont of the Skyliners. Johnny Meister with that wonderful voice.
Yeah.
Okay, the Angels listened in step by step. Earl Carroll, Speedo of the Cadillacs. Eugene Pitt of the Jive Five. Harvey Fuqua of the Moonglows. These are wonderful performers.
And these are names people may not know offhand, but they've heard the music. They may not realize they know the music.
They know the music.
Because they're standards at this point.
Well, you know, it's so funny. You get young people who hear this music for the first time.
Yeah.
To them, it's brand new because it's good.
Yeah.
You hear Run Around Sue by Dion. You start to sing along, and she goes out with all the girls.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how the lasting power of this music is. And Philadelphia and the tri-state area never forgot the roots of this music.
Well, it was one of the absolute breeding grounds of all this. Ground zero for so much of it. I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, but I'm going to ask again because I forgot the answer. But who was the greatest entertainer you ever saw take the stage?
I think the greatest was Jackie Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Richard Dynamite.
Yeah.
Elvis Dynamite. But when Jackie Wilson hit that stage and with the operatic sound and with the moves and the splits, he was electrifying.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because I back all of these wonderful artists with a 40-piece orchestra. Now, imagine when you bought the record you didn't have 40 pieces back in these guys.
Yeah.
So they come alive when this happens, and the audience is in awe.
Well, you know who's always there and loves it, Mr. Pierre Robert. Second, he heard you're going to be on the show, he freaked out because he loves this show.
Yeah.
And you said you get a multi-generational response, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We get them from 16 years of age to 101.
Right.
You know,
no 102-year-olds will kick you right out, right?
No, they can't get in.
Now, the tickets are on sale now. They're $35, KimmelCenter.org, and the show is this weekend. This is coming Saturday,
the 26th.
But I also wanted to ask about, you do a cruise as well.
Yes, we do. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's called the Malt Shop Memories Cruise. And talking about Dick Clark's business. His company owns the cruise.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And we've had Frankie Valli. We've had Paul Anka. We've had every major star, Dionne Warwick, Petula Clark.
That's cool. I mean, I love all those. I love all those entertainers. I mean, there's so many great songs. I have to ask you this, though. Yeah. So when you're packing for that trip, how many Speedos do you have to put away?
First of all, I'm on from 7 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the morning. So I don't have time to put my little Speedo on. But this little body's moving pretty good.
Okay, all right.
Geeter's in shape.
He is in shape. Yeah, he's in great shape.
Nice, man. So anyhow, if people want to go, when is that cruise? By the way, it's maltshopcruise.com.
Yeah.
But if you want to get the tickets, when's that?
That's November. It's sold out all the time.
Okay, no kidding.
So you'll have to stow away.
You know, it's so crazy. This is the 10th cruise, and it started out 3 days.
Yeah.
Then it went 6 days, and now it's a week. And now they're talking about doing it for 2 weeks.
Two-week cruise.
Jesus. I mean, but every moment on this cruise, there's music. Doo-wop, street corner harmony, concerts, wine tasting, trivia, interviews. I mean, it's an amazing cruise.
You could see some legends of music while they're seasick, and that alone would be cool.
That's the greatest thing that happens.
Yeah, so that is cool. These cruise things are becoming, I mean, my friend constantly goes on the band Kiss, that goes on their cruises, and he loves it. He just keeps going on them. He's just a freak for them, and the same people just keep going time and time again. They love it.
These music crews have revitalized the cruise business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask a question, Jerry, piggybacking on Steve's question about the best performer you've ever seen. What's your favorite, for you as being a performer, what's your favorite thing to do? Television, radio, live performances?
You know, by the grace of God, 60 years I've been doing this, okay? I started out as a dancer. My all-time favorite thing is being in front of people and performing in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, radio is great. You know, it's theater of the mind and all of that, people out there listening. But when you get out there and you see that audience and you see them smiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm dancing and I get them dancing and I get them singing along, the Geeter with the heat, the Boss with the... And they're all moving, young and old. And that's the secret of why Memories that I have in Margate is 47 years in business this year.
Wow.
Because generation after generation. And the parents bring their kids, the kids bring their other kids, and it's just, it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. That's what my life has been.
That's awesome. We've been talking a couple times over the past couple of weeks about these entertainers that used to be and some that are closest to them now. And I've been referring to them as sort of Swiss Army knife entertainers. So you had they could do it all. And you don't see many of them these days. You get like a Bruno Mars or some other Justin Timberlake or people who can do multiple things. But that used to see it a lot more where people were called upon and sort of had to be able to do everything.
You know, that's why you guys do radio, you do personal appearances, you do TV appearances and all of that. And the greatest, though, is when you're out with the public, you get a sense of what they really want and what they really feel and what really turns them on. In other words, if I'm spinning a record and if it's not working, the reaction from the public's going to tell me. I have the ability then to go into something else and bring them up. You got to read the audience. That's what an entertainer does. Sinatra was the greatest. Sammy Davis was the greatest because they would come out with a set, an hour and a half set. And if it wasn't working, Sammy'd say, forget the charts. Let's do this. And he had the audience in the palm of his hand.
Well, you know what you're doing, and the next audience you're going to be in front of is this Saturday, 8 o'clock. It's at the Kimmel Center.
Awesome
place. Groups like the Miracles and Kim Weston and Brenda Holloway, as Jerry was saying, and the Stylistics and the Tokens.
River Valley Vocal Band.
No, we're not going to
do that there. No? All right.
You don't trust me. You don't want
and
that.
Preston and Steve and Stephen Preston.
I'm sure Pierre will come out as well. He always comes. You do like a pre-show party or something like that?
Yeah. They're dancing in the plaza, and they're dancing before, they're dancing after, and it's
awesome.
It's a happening.
Yeah.
And it's the 40th anniversary show, so it should be a big one. It's only $35, and you can go to KimmelCenter.org. to get the tickets. It's always a pleasure to see
guys,
you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for our fruit basket,
yes.
too.
Yes. Yes. I love you guys. I love Kathy. I love Nick. I love my man Pots and Pans, Casey. Yes. Remember, you got to keep on rocking because you only rock once.
Love that. Let's hear it for Jerry Blavitt, the Gator, on the President Steve Show. You are the man, sir. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. You stay right where you are.
Starting 2019 with a bang. WMMR presents Disturbed.
Are you ready?
Indoors, February 18th at the Big Joint. With 3 days grace to open the show.
MMR's got your shot at a backstage experience to have a few kicks. With a pre-show foosball game with the band and a trip to raid the merch booth. Click contests at WMMR.com and let us know how disturbed you are to win this prize. The deadline to get your name in the hat is January 20th.
On sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Disturbed with 3 days grace, January 18th at the Big Joint. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I had real quick over the weekend, went to the Impractical Joker show at the Met. And normally when I leave from where I live, my jaunt into Philadelphia, specifically on a Saturday, almost no matter what time of day, but especially when you're talking about getting around, you know, after like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, can be an hour and a half excursion.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people on the road. It took me like 45 minutes to get there.
Oh, awesome.
It was fan-freaking-tastic and on the way home. But I don't know why. I think it might have been simply because of the threat of inclement weather this weekend that maybe kept people off the roads a tad bit. But it looked like traffic was way down the whole weekend to me.
Did you see warnings along the roads, like on the electric signs, for people to not drive? Because I did.
I didn't.
And I didn't know where they originated from. Yeah, and Steve, they started really early on Saturday, too. And the weather, I mean, we've talked about it enough, but the weather on Saturday wasn't that awful.
No, but it was because of that freeze that was supposed to come in. I saw a number of alerts from different township police departments.
Huh.
They put out alerts like basically get your shopping done, get everything in.
And then get off the road.
On Saturday and get off of the road is what they were calling for. Because no one really knew how much water was still going to be left on the road or on the sidewalks. And if it had been left there, it would have completely froze over last night.
Advance warnings, but it was not, and I understand, and I'm glad they did, but it was not what I was prepped for.
It was nothing.
Yeah, it was nothing.
When I was driving around yesterday, and I went at the tail end right after it had stopped raining, and it was still warm, I'm like, this is going to have enough time for all this to run off.
Yeah.
And it's not going to freeze right away, and it did, and that's good, but the precautions were necessary, because if not, you would have people slipping and sliding all over the place, and that would have been really, really dangerous and unfortunate, but we got kind of lucky. But I thought, I think a lot of people just stayed off the road and kind of hung at home.
We should honestly issue those warnings all the time.
Every weekend. Yeah. If
you want to get somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe we could work
on that. I was in the city yesterday, and there was no one there. Like, no, I mean, it was cold last night, but nobody was out.
All right. Well, we only get one day of this really bitter stuff today. Tomorrow's 30. Wednesday, 46, and we'll be at 50 at least by Thursday.
The cold snap comes back. I know how to use a scarf.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
You'll be ready.
Do.
Hey, we got plenty of winter left. And we're still and we're talking about the Cardboard Classic as well. That's officially up and running now, and the details are there. We have a new sponsor, Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum, and we're going to be having a category set up for Best Captain Morgan themed sled. We've doubled the prize money for first place for best design for $2,000. By the way, Best Captain Morgan sled's a grand, fastest sled $500 from Sprint, and a new category this year, our favorite fail. And whatever that means, we'll just determine it on the day.
All this money will come in handy when you're paying your medical bills at the Lehigh Hospital that you're stuck at. No, honestly, I'm so thrilled about this skip up because, as you said, Preston, we just love this event.
Yeah.
And the more we can just, you know, add to it and flesh it out, the better.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there's going to be a wedding as the sled is going down the hill.
I was not aware
no,
of that.
No, are we talking a royal wedding?
Not a royal wedding. In fact, it's they're like the complete opposite of that.
Okay.
but these people are putting together an altar, and they right. have a full, I mean, they're getting the marriage license like
on
in a
the
couple
way
of
down.
Weeks. On the way down,
okay.
There is a minister that is going to... I mean, this is really
right.
happening.
They're going to have about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know what? Maybe they can do the most yes. of it at the top.
And yeah. then the I do is exchanged on
all
the way
down.
Down. Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Okay.
They're right. so... They were so mad when they heard about our mass wedding at
yeah.
the Camp Out for Hunger. Because they had been planning this for a long, long time.
No,
and they're like, man, people are going to think we're biting off of the Camp Out for Hunger.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
However, if next year, not this year, but next year, they can conceive their child while coming down the hill, that'd be cool.
We'd be open to
yeah,
that
yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll have to be, some of us are going to have to be on board that sled for that.
Well, they
as
need
well.
Witnesses. Yes.
Yeah, we'll need to. All right. Maybe we can get Gritty on there. You never know. All right. We need to do the Bizarre File, so we're going to do it.
No. Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin'. The best twos are Dunkin' Go Twos. Two egg and cheese wraps for $2. Two bagels with cream cheese spread for $4. Two bacon, egg, and cheese croissants for $5. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply. When former NBA star Jason Richardson and his wife bought their four-bedroom house in upscale Cherry Hills Village 3 years ago, they had no idea about the neighborhood secret. The house sits on a quiet, tree-lined street where million-dollar homes are tastefully set back with trimmed hedges and winding stone pathways. What Richardson didn't know when he signed on the dotted line was his house is one of about 50 in this Denver suburb that still, to this day, goes by a rather unique neighborhood name.
Okay.
It's called Swastika Acres.
No. Swastika oh Acres?
Oh,
that's an unpleasant name.
Why?
To be clear, there are no signs saying welcome to Swastika Acres. You won't find it on Google Maps either, but the name still exists on the deeds of several dozen homeowners, a remaining vestige of an old Denver land company from the early 1900s that predated Nazi Germany, mind you.
Okay.
Many residents, like Richardson, were not even aware they belonged to this strange relic of the city's past. Others knew about it but never felt strongly enough to push for a change.
Isn't the swastika a riff on a Hindu symbol?
Well, it's a religious symbol.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes way, way back. But,
yeah.
Hitler didn't create that and he doesn't have first dibs on it. But so that's why this was created well before Hitler was in the early 1900s.
Yeah, it didn't have the same, but it's still
but
an
it's
unfortunate
still
name. Yeah.
He unfortunately ruined it for everybody. After decades of red tape dissuaded any action, city council in 2017 cleared the way for homeowners to get the Swastika Acres name changed
to Klan Land.
Both.
Welcome to Klan Land.
That's not good either.
Both the outgoing and incoming mayors say that it's time for the name to go. So there you go. Nick, what is its origin?
Originally it was Sanskrit. And it's a symbol that's been around for thousands of years and then co-opted by the Nazis. And they put a bad mark on it.
There you go. Well, a man was allegedly smoking crack cocaine and receiving sexual acts at a red light Tuesday afternoon when two city police detectives walked up to his car.
Honestly, that's multitasking.
Michael Duville was stopped at an intersection about two blocks from police headquarters when the detectives approached.
Good afternoon, officers.
They instructed Duville to pull over once the light turned green, but instead he accelerated and drove through the Advanced Auto Parts parking lot at a high speed.
Just give me 2 seconds.
Officer Robert Harrington stopped Duville a short time later. The female passenger bolted and couldn't immediately be found. Harrington arrested Duville on charges of lewdness, disobeying a police officer, reckless conduct, and possession of crack cocaine. It was a busy day for him. Gerardo Perez. This is a horrible story, man. Gerardo Perez returned Saturday to the scorched field in central Mexico where he'd seen an illegal pipeline tap burst into flames to see if he could recognize missing friends. He couldn't. Only a handful of the remains still had skin. Dozens were burned to the bone or to ash when the gusher of gasoline exploded, killing at least 73 people. They now say the total's up over 85. Perez said he and his son bypassed soldiers and ignored warnings to stay clear of the geyser Friday evening around 62 miles north of Mexico City. But as Perez got nearer to the spurting fuel, he was overcome with foreboding. He recalls telling his son, "Let's go. This thing is going to explode." And it did, with the fireball engulfing locals, collecting the spilling gasoline in buckets, jugs, and garbage cans. Video footage showed flames shooting high into the night sky and people running from the explosion, some themselves burning and waving their arms. Perez and his son made it out. By Saturday, though, the death toll had risen to 73. Officials said at least another 74 were injured and dozens more were missing. 54 bodies had yet to be identified. Hundreds of people gathered looking for, you know, the people that they knew. But on Friday, there were hundreds of people gathered in an almost festive atmosphere in a field where a duct had been perforated by fuel thieves and gasoline was spewing 20 feet into the air. That's why they were all there. And it exploded. By the way, it had been breached 10 times over 3 months.
Yeah.
And it came just 3 weeks after President Andrés Manuel López Obrador had launched an offensive against fuel theft gangs that have drilled dangerous illegal taps into pipelines an astounding 12,581 times in the first 10 months of last year.
Well, and here's why that's such a liability.
Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, that's just an absolute tragedy.
Horrific.
That took place. Yeah. All right. We need a lighter story and we'll end with this one. An alpaca has confused and delighted residents of a small French town after wandering into an optician's shop.
So an alpaca walks into an optician's shop.
The fuzzy creature spent half an hour quietly browsing lenses in the town of Hennebon. Employees closed.
How do I look at these?
Employees closed his doors to stop it fleeing before calling the police. While they initially thought it had escaped from a nearby circus, authorities found the private owner who came to pick up the wayward animal shortly afterwards.
Has anyone seen my alpaca?
Staff at Les Opticiens Metulatis first saw the alpaca wandering outside late Friday morning. An employee, Helene, said, "We saw him walk past the shop. He stopped in front of the automatic doors that he opened and then walked in very quietly."
Wait a second. I know that alpaca.
He was not at all aggressive. He was just doing his thing. The four staff members locked up the shop.
Henry, I think your alpaca is in our store.
For fear that the animal could run into the streets and cause an accident before calling the authorities.
Don't they get a little honorary, those alpaca?
Do they spit or do llamas spit?
I don't think they spit like llamas. They're similar to llamas, but they're not in that regard, I think. Because our neighbor, believe it or not, had alpacas. And yeah. We go over there and visit them from time to time. But you just got to be careful because they're big.
Yeah.
Kick
your teeth out.
Within half an hour, the owner, who wished to remain anonymous, had arrived to collect the alpaca and did that. There you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarro File this morning. We're going to break. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to ask a lesson question. We'll see if you've been paying attention to today's program. And we'll get trash and music news and more. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a little bit.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Looking outside our window here in Bala Cynwyd. Look at the trees. No leaves on them whatsoever, and they're swaying all over the place. Did you guys, while sleeping in your home last night,
Oh yeah,
did it feel like the house was going to move by the amount of wind? It did. Where I sleep on the corner, and it was whipping all over the place.
So my house is like a brick, but there are certain, my wife has sort of like a swinging thing out on the front porch.
Oh, you can hear it going. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. I woke up in the middle of the night. I'm like, I really hope the umbrella to my patio furniture is not still out there.
Right? Yeah. I was running through the list of things in my backyard. I'm like, is everything, you know,
inside, battened
down, covered up, ready to go?
So when we first moved into the house about a year and a half ago, there were some lovely trees, but they were not healthy trees.
Oh, yeah.
And so the plan has always been to get a pool in the yard and do the whole deal. So I just said, let's take these trees down. Uh-huh. And that was in advance of last year's conga line of blizzards. And since then, we've had a number of windstorms, including last night, where I know one of those suckers would have come down.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about just making the right call ahead of it.
Two things as well about stuff in your backyard. If you have a trampoline.
Trampoline goes airborne.
Or if you have a hot tub, the hot tub cover, which I didn't believe until it happened to me.
So what happened?
So you have the cover, and then you have this, it's like a stand that it goes up on. It's this metal piece that holds it in place when you flip it up and it stays up.
Right.
And I'm like, even if it blew open, it would be fine. No, it ripped the whole thing off. This is years ago.
Wow.
So I learned right away that you got to lock it down when you get ready for
That glider windy you keep conditions. In the back?
That's okay. That'll be okay.
That glider.
The
full-blown glider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My ultralight aircraft.
helicopters, all that stuff is all. That stayed fine.
So with the breeze, and it's pretty steady out there, temperatures are going to be like 10 below zero with the wind chill. And the actual number high is around 16, 17 degrees.
You know, so people never say, yeah, but it's a dry cold.
Right. You don't hear that one.
That's never the explanation why you need to just suck it up. That's a dry cold.
We just hear it about heat.
Yeah.
All right, so keep that in mind. We're going to do a lesson question today. We're going to give away a $75 gift card to Walmart, which is pretty cool. And it is courtesy of the Bic Flex. Now, the question that I have for her this morning is, what did Queen Elizabeth II exclaim when she got behind the wheel? 215-263-WMMR. What did Queen Elizabeth II exclaim when she got behind the wheel of a car? We heard it early this morning. Want to talk to people who may have been with us all morning long. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. And while we're waiting for your call, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by the hilarious Amy Schumer. Live at the legendary Tower Theater Friday, February 1st. All tickets originally purchased for Amy Schumer December 1st show will be honored. And limited tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Amy Schumer at the Tower, February 1st. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Japanese farmer Masazo Nanako, formerly the oldest living man in the world, has passed away at the age of 113. Nanako says he's excited to begin the first chapter of his post-life, which will include decomposition and putrefaction.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
Though both have often been unlucky in love, Brad Pitt and Charlize Theron are reportedly involved in a budding relationship. In fact, the two have been seen out on numerous dates shopping for mirrors.
Oh, my God.
They like to look at each other. And finally, Arnold Schwarzenegger is ecstatic that his 21-year-old son, Joseph Banya, has embraced the bodybuilding lifestyle. Said Arnold, quote, "Seeing how great Joseph has turned out makes me regret not having sex with our chef and gardener." That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we'll go looking for an answer, see if we can find somebody who knows the answer to this question. Hang on a second here. Yeah, there we go. What did Queen Elizabeth II exclaim when she was behind the wheel? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I'm going to go to Dan. Hi there, Dan.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Dan, what did the Queen exclaim when she got behind the wheel?
Whee! That's what I get to do.
Yes! Hang on a second, Dan. You got it right. And we are going to give you a $75 gift card to Walmart, your shaving headquarters, courtesy of Bic Flex. With Bic Flex, you'll get a super smooth shave without trimming your bank account with high-quality blades that flex to the contours of your skin. Smooth shave, smooth price, and that is Bic Flex. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Biscuits!
All right. Music News this morning is brought to you by Dunkin', the best twos or Dunkin' Go-Tos. Two egg and cheese wraps for $2. Two bagels and cream cheese spread for $4. Two bacon, egg, and cheese croissants for that. That's $5. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply. I'll start with this one. John Bon Jovi, a New Jersey-based community restaurant owned by him and his wife, is going to serve a free meal today to furloughed federal workers.
And what's the name of that program, Preston?
Well, it's Wanted Bread or Alive, according to Steve. But the name of the restaurant is JBJ Soul Kitchen.
Yeah,
which is owned by John and Dorothea Bon Jovi. Teaming up with the Murphy Family Foundation, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and his wife's philanthropic organization to offer the meal, according to a release. So today's free meal will take place from noon to 2 p.m. So,
that's kind of a day of a day of service thing, too.
Yeah, and he's a real charitable guy. So if you are indeed one of those workers, then you can stop by and get yourself a free meal. Noon to 2 today.
I like to think of him as like a cowboy.
Yeah, well,
you know, like
ride on a steel horse.
Yeah,
I've read about this restaurant before. I think that this is one of these types of places where you can go in, and if you are not able to pay for the bill, you don't have to.
That's it. If you can give up what you're able to afford, and if you can't afford anything, yeah, you're still okay. And then other people, their generosity sort of offset.
You think it is, or you're sure?
I'm not 100% sure, but okay. I saw.
Restaurant is
go
basically.
Try. No, I saw it on 60 Minutes, and. I'm just going to go with that's
right.
A fact.
I think that was the whole impetus for the just do a follow-up, yeah. Nick, on it, but I think you're right. I think that's the whole reason they set it up.
Okay.
I think any place, any store, jewelry store, I think it's...
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of the honor system.
What? They do that at the jewelry store?
You just go. If you can afford it, no, it's okay. Just take it. You know, a lot of times, though, you have to open up the glass with, like, the back of a gun or something.
All right, here it is. Yes. JBJ Soul Kitchen is a nonprofit community restaurant in... Our Pay It Forward model,
yeah.
Which, by the way, he was in that movie, Pay It Forward.
Yes.
Paying guests cover the cost of those in need who volunteer for a meal.
Huh.
That's cool.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So, Tool frontman, Maynard James Keenan, responded to a fan on Twitter over the weekend about the band's music not being available for streaming online, essentially hinting that he's not responsible for the situation.
What'd he say?
Replying to the fan's plea, the Keenan helped keep Tool as relevant as accessible as it's always been. Keenan simply replied, squawking at the wrong Tool. So, and maybe somebody else in the band, I don't know. As it currently stands, Tool remain one of the highest profile rock acts to have not taken part in the digital revolution of of the music industry.
Yeah.
The band's music remains largely unavailable through any legal retail digital music service, with official streaming options also essentially being non-existent. In early 2017, Bloomberg report stated the Bandcamp had been having meetings with Spotify and Apple Music to potentially make their music available for streaming. 2 years later, Tool's music is still missing from both services, indicating that the talks don't work out. And Keenan is apparently being truthful because his other groups have actually been available on those platforms.
Mm.
Tool's been working on his first new album since 2006 for nearly a year, with the band entering the studio last March. Although the disc is said to be near completion, the group has yet to indicate a release date or even a title. Foo Fighters are getting into the pre-Super Bowl hype with a 1970s-inspired spoof video directed by Dave Grohl. The clip, which also features some noted NFL announcers, arrives ahead of the band's Super Saturday Night performance in Atlanta on the 2nd, the day before the big game. The 5-minute video sees Grohl and the band suit up in full football gear as the San Francisco Jackalopes. Grohl steps up to the team bus as Larry Butts, that's his name, I guess, swigging from a flask, and followed by teammates Helmut Pyle, Jake Schenker, Bertrand Hitchens, and Brett Rogers. Of course, their exploits on the field lead something to be desired, to put it mildly. They plan to stream that pre-Super Bowl show via Twitter at DirecTV and also on DirecTV's audience channel. So you will be able to see that. Ozzy Osbourne has sent 2 Platinum Disc Awards to former drummer Lee Kerslake, who has reportedly been given less than 8 months to live after battling cancer for several years. Now, Kerslake was sent the discs of his work on Ozzy's first 2 solo albums, 1980's Blizzard of Oz and 1981's Diary of a Madman. 2 awesome albums. Now, speaking in December, Kerslake revealed that after all these years, he just wanted platinum album certifications for both albums so he could feel some acknowledgement for his work before he died. He explained, "I really wrote a nice letter to Ozzy and Sharon, and I hope they will come to terms with it and say yes." Now, he has been granted his wish from Ozzy. Ozzy shared a photo on Friday of Kerslake holding the Blizzard of and Madman platinum discs, a handwritten letter from Ozzy on his chest. Ozzy wrote under the photo, "I'm so glad that Lee Kerslake is enjoying his Blizzard and Diary Platinum albums. I hope you feel better. Love, Ozzy." 71-year-old Kerslake is best known as a longtime drummer for British heavy rockers Uriah Heep,
yeah,
whom he joined in 1972 and played almost continuously in 2007 until health forced him into semi-retirement.
So what is he ill with, Preston?
He has cancer. Yeah. So it was during a brief period in which he left Heap in 1980 and joined Ozzy's solo project after Ozzy left Black Sabbath. Now, although Kerslake and bassist Bob Daisley, here's what I didn't know, played on the Diary of a Madman album, they were fired before its release. And bassist Rudy Sarzo and drummer Tommy Aldridge, who I have always known as the guys in that band,
yeah,
were credited on the album sleeve.
So and they really...
They didn't play on the album.
Yeah. What the hell?
Kerslake and Daisley later sued the Osbournes, claiming that they had contributed to the songwriting on both albums and had been denied millions in royalties.
So what about those millions in royalties?
Well, it's not going to happen.
I hope you enjoy your records.
In retaliation for the lawsuit, Sharon had both albums reissued in 2012 with the drum and bass parts re-recorded by Faith No More drummer Mike Bordin and future Metallica bassist Robert Trujillo.
Wow.
Both members of Ozzy's live band at the time. So that's pretty harsh, but I guess this guy knows he doesn't have much time left, and he just wanted to get credit.
Poor his family, though.
I know.
If you could dig up a... Enjoy your records.
Yeah. So, but he seems to be satisfied with that. And then one last story. Roger Daltrey is showing no signs of taking it easy in 2019 with the long-planned Keith Moon biopic starting to finally take shape, and prepping a new solo live album along with recording a new album for The Who and undertaking two sets of North American runs this year. I didn't know The Who was going to do new music.
Has there been a mention of, I thought you might have mentioned someone they were thinking to play Keith Moon?
You know what? I don't know.
I thought it was Louis Anderson.
No.
There was somebody you mentioned who, this is a while ago. Maybe I'm just thinking out my ass, as they say.
I don't remember. Maybe if I had a name, right, I might remember that. But anyhow, so he spoke about the coming year, saying that my biggest plan is to get a Keith Moon film started. It's very difficult because I don't want to make a biopic. I want to make a great film. They all seem to fall into the same trap, except for the Brian Wilson one, Love and Mercy, which was great, he says.
It was a great movie.
We'll be working on a new script. I'll get there. I've got the vision of what I want it to be. Any idea, Nick?
I'm still trying to find it.
All right. Okay. But anyhow, that is his main project as of now. And speaking of The Who, MMR rocks The Who, the Moving On Tour, Saturday, May 25th at Citizens Bank Park, and tickets are on sale now. That's what I have for you this morning in music news.
Steve Daltrey did comment on it at one point. He said, I've got to find a Keith Moon. He said it's going to be very, very dependent on the actor and the actor's eyes, because you have to cast it completely from the eyes, because Moon had extraordinary eyes.
Yeah, it's okay. True. Crazy eyes.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment. We've got a great Word of the Week prize this week. I'll tell you about that when we return and get that first letter. Stay with us.
Whether social,
hey, welcome in,
or anti-social,
hey, get out,
join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Program about ready to wrap up. We got a full week of activities planned, and hopefully you'll be here each and every day for all of the goodness. I want to thank our guest today, Justin Guarini.
Yeah.
Justin was on this morning. You know what? I'll play just a little bit more of that song that he sent us, because it is so good. What a great singer.
I was born by the river.
It's a great voice, man.
In a little tent. And just like the river, I've been running ever since.
And if you download that song, a portion of the proceeds go to this group called the JacquemelChildren.org Foundation. And it is in Haiti, where they're still, I mean, that place was
decimated
as it was. And then it was destroyed by the earthquake all those years ago, but it's still in a bad way.
Yes,
and he's doing what he can to help out and creating some wonderful music. This is a Sam Cooke cover, by the way. But we have the details at WMMR.com, PrestonSteve.com, if you want to check that out.
I'm going to buy the song.
Thank you also to the Gators.
Yeah.
Jerry Blavitt was here. And Jerry has his Jerry Blavitt and Friends 40th anniversary show on Saturday at Verizon Hall, and tickets are available at KimmelCenter.org. And it's always a treat having him. He's, man, that guy's got a gazillion stories.
And a wealth of knowledge right at the ready.
Yeah, most definitely. Robin Lee!
Yay!
In for Pierre Robert today. Hey.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Cold?
Yeah.
Like everyone?
Yeah.
Brutal?
It's brutal out there, right?
It was 8. I think it's 10 now.
10. Well, it's warming up. It's getting a little toasty.
It's warming up.
Yeah, you can take off your 15th layer.
Yeah, I think it was when I got my car, it said 6.
Oh.
And my car just simply said, you don't want to know.
Yeah. You don't want to be here.
Go inside.
But oh well, you'll have plenty to entertain today.
I will. Entertain and delight. The world. Go ahead.
You use the power of rock to warm people up.
There it is. Wow, Steve.
we're going to need to do the letter of the day first and foremost. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
S, as in sensational.
All righty.
Well done.
That is letter number 1 of 5. And we have a 4-pack of tickets and backstage passes to meet Dorothy Saturday, February 16th, the TLA on South Street, and $75 to Lorenzo's and Sons for dinner right across the street there. Also, an autographed guitar and a new turntable with Dorothy's latest on vinyl, 28 Days in the Valley.
It's freaking awesome.
Lorenzo's, family owned and operated since 1970. Visit Lorenzo and Sons on South Street in Westchester, in the Wells Fargo Center, and opening in Xfinity Live this spring, which could be cool.
How much bigger is a large Lorenzo's pie than an actual record? How many records would fit in a Lorenzo's pie?
Too many to even, I don't know. It's huge. It's massive.
I told you the story about it. I could barely get it into the sports back of my car.
Yeah.
You know, I could transport bicycles in the back of my car, no problem.
I had to put it in my trunk.
Yeah.
And I got a whole pie. Joe gave it to me, and I had to put it in the trunk of the car.
I like this record challenge idea, though. We probably should get some pizza
and do
this
that.
Week and
yeah.
do that.
Yes. Yeah. We'll work so we that. Can get set up. That'd be great to do this study.
Robin Lee, what's in store for the audience today?
I have the Workforce Blocks, Foo Fighters, Def Leppard, and Bush. Mm. That's pretty much all. I have a really good lineup of music, though.
Cool.
Excellent. Here That's all do. You need.
Yes.
Power of rock, like yes. Steve said.
It'll heat you from within.
let me thank our sponsors.
Oh, yeah. I got you right here,
Rodney. Thanks, sir. Preston hey. Steve Show has...
Bro.
All right, Rodney.
Hey. A lot of people sponsor the show, I tell you. You can't go out of here with a lot of sponsorships. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of sponsors.
A lot of sponsors.
Sorry, I didn't mean to snort. Brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International.
Hey, and the people responsible for the show, you know what I'm saying?
Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and by Royal Caribbean. This is not the Caribbean. This is the Royal Caribbean.
Yeah, get that straight.
Come and seek. Tomorrow on the program, we'll give away a tattoo for Tattoo Tuesday. We do it new now, and I'll tell you about that tomorrow.
Yeah, it's less bloody.
Actor Steve Zahn
yes.
is going to be checking in as well. It should be interesting, because the last time we spoke to him years ago, he was weird.
And he was weird.
Let's see how he is tomorrow.
He's got a new series on Nat Geo, which I just started watching, about the earliest days of the internet.
Oh,
and okay. He plays a weird character.
We'll see what
so
we get.
We'll see what we get. Yep.
All right, that's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Oh, so the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. Well, that's interesting. I hope the halftime show is good.
Next message.
Colin, Colin, Colin. Let's keep our colon clean.
Next message.
I hate the winter in the Northeast, but I can't afford to move down south because I got too many bills. I hate the ice. I love the Eagles, though. Go Birds.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.